Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, June 2nd, 2022. This is your award-winning Gibbon Nation Media Assassination, episode 1456.
This is No Agenda.
Flying the colors proudly and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I can't get it out of my head that Adam injured himself playing air drums. I'm John C. Dvorak.
Hey man, that's pre-show stuff. That's not for just podcast listeners. That's the special stuff that we share with the trolls who show up.
I can't get it out of my head.
Well, I have this desk lamp, and I was going pow pow pow. I was playing along with Bowie, and then I was going to do the cymbal crash from the upswing, which is a cool way to do it. And then it went, my index finger, the top one, went right into the desk lamp. Right to the bone.
Doubt it.
Me and Tommy Lee, man, this is shit that happens to us drummers. Anyway, hey, John, happy Pride Month.
Oh, is it Pride Month?
It's Pride Month, yes.
Good.
It is. I think it was
last month.
No, I think it's this month. And you know what the LGBTQ plus community gets for Pride Month?
No.
Monkeypox.
The CDC issuing a new warning now about monkeypox. All Americans, of course, can get the virus, but they're saying right now that the LGBTQ plus community should be especially cautious at the moment ahead of the Pride facilities coming, Pride festivities.
So, hold on a second. Is this a month that we celebrate Pride for LGBT, for our LGBTQ allied brothers and sisters? Or is this a month where we have sex? Because that's what this news report is telling me. Yeah, CDC is saying, hey, it's Pride Month, y'all. So back off a little.
Monkeypox comes from sex?
apparently.
Community should be especially cautious at the moment ahead of the Pride facilities coming, Pride festivities
facilities, yeah,
coming next month. The CDC is reporting many of the cases so far are among gay and bisexual men. The disease can be passed to anyone.
I'm sorry, it's men. My mistake. Just men. But anyway, I think you're right. And let me say it again so you hear it. You are right. You nailed it. Monkeypox being blamed on climate change. I'm sure you saw the professor.
I did not. No, you're indicating that I was right before I even realized it.
Yes, Professor Staines.
Although we both knew I was right I said it.
Well, of course. I did not argue. In fact, I was pissed. I'm like, crap.
Beat me to it.
Professor Staines of, what is this, DCU? I'll have to figure out which university that is. Explained. Climate change is driving animal populations out of their normal ranges and human populations into areas where animals live. You see, this is how it works. Climate change is pushing people into cities, is pushing animals into closer proximity with people, and we're seeing connections that we never saw before. But wait, here's the quote. Here's the money quote. This is what living with climate change looks like.
Oh, please. We have nothing but a lot of local reports. About cougars, they're all over the place, and so there's at least one cougar report every evening news. Somebody found a cougar in their backyard, or
they have cougars at the steakhouse, at Steiner Ranch here in Austin.
Cougars, and then
different kind of cougar.
Actually, I should have caught that.
Yeah.
But then we also have bears. Now that we're seeing bears roaming around where there shouldn't be. Yeah, we have a bear and a bear in Marin or some bear. There's a lot of wild boar in Marin.
I think we just have to be on the lookout for pangolin when they start moving into your neighborhood.
Pangolin. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Exactly. It was, what was this? It was another 20-second clip about the monkeypox.
The World Health Organization is not expecting monkeypox to turn into a global pandemic. Right. There are at least 257 confirmed cases worldwide and another 120 suspected infections, including 12 suspected or confirmed cases here in the U.S. One top official at the World Body said...
Stop tape.
Stopping.
Wait a minute. How did they work the gay pride thing in with only 12 cases throughout the U.S.?
Because
are they all at the one gay pride parade? Which one of them or something?
Yeah.
I don't get it now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is
statistically bullcrap.
Yes. It's using the gays.
Leveraging the gays once again.
Leveraging. Yes. Thank you. You said it. Exactly. Spot on the money.
Confirmed cases here in the U.S. One top official at the World Body says they don't want people to panic and think monkeypox is anything like COVID.
Well, of course. Please don't think that. Whatever you think, don't think that. Don't think that. But I guess, although it's very hard to get any real information, there's nothing on the WHO.int website or any reporting. I think those amendments, the 13, what they call the Biden's 13 amendments to the international health regulations, it appears that the votes for that weren't enough or it failed. And this would be because 47 members of AFRO, it's a federated African countries, 47 of them, said no. We're withholding our support for these reforms. And let me see. I think also Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, Iran, and Malaysia also said no. Brazil said it would exit the WHO altogether if this went through. So maybe it worked a little bit, everyone running around with their hair on fire about it. Especially those African podcasters.
Good.
Yeah. No, I'm quite happy with it.
Do you remember what the 13 were? I forgot them. Do you have them?
The 13 amendments?
Yeah.
Well, the main amendment was WHO can declare a pandemic.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I'll repeat it anyway. It's good to know. Yeah, they can declare a pandemic and then use their resources to
blue helmets.
Yes, blue helmets incoming, as always. As always. Since we're here, let me just do a quick little update on what's happening in COVID, just so we can do it, because, you know, we got to keep our eye on it. Very short clips.
And here in the U.S., the Biden administration is fighting to reinstate the federal mask mandate on planes and mass transit. That mandate was ruled unlawful by a federal judge in April. Now the Justice Department is asking an appeals court to bring back the mask mandate, saying it was easily within the CDC's authority.
So, you know, there seems to be quite a push for bringing the masks back. Several states, cities are...
And I should mention, after the science has shown they're useless.
I think even the New York Times had something that I saw people... I haven't read it myself. But yeah, it shows it's pretty much useless. But maybe this type of messaging is what makes it work.
There's a lot of COVID.
If it feels like you're starting to notice more people.
This, by the way, is a local ABC report. So it may sound like it's a TikToker, but that's your level of local journalism.
There's a lot of COVID.
If it feels like you're starting to notice more people getting COVID-19 again, that's because they are.
I'm starting to see a lot of students be positive again, coworkers that are positive, just contacts that are positive. It's not gone.
Experts say we're in the midst of yet another COVID-19 wave.
But at the moment, the cases are going up. Hospitalizations are going up. Test positivity is going up.
What health officials are keeping a close eye on right now is the United States is currently recording as many COVID-19 cases as it was last summer during the Delta surge.
We've really enjoyed a nice little break for a little while here. But unfortunately, at the moment, we're headed in the other direction.
That's why researchers are predicting cases to rise after gatherings this holiday weekend. They say when we have an opportunity like a holiday for people to get together, there's going to be risk for spread, especially right now. Doctors say the people most at risk for spreading and getting the virus, aside from anyone unvaccinated, are people who aren't boosted.
Anyone who has not been boosted for their vaccination should really start thinking about those boosters right now.
Yep, right now, think about it. So, you know, the boosters pushing more, I don't think that's working really well. We hear it from, you know, the pharma pigs themselves saying, oh, we got 7 billion vaccines, nobody wants them. But I think for the mask industry and related industries, you know, there's something to be done here. And my goodness, Dr. Deborah Birx, go ahead, say it.
Your pal, your buddy, one that you was in love with.
Yeah, for an entire 5 days until I discovered She was a lying shill. And then I saw exactly what she is, because she's very enamoring for an upper middle aged woman with, you know, she's elegant, has titles, and was in the Navy. And then you find out that she's the one that was going to every single governor and to all the local state governments and saying, oh, you got to lock down, you got mass mandates, you got to have this, you got to have that. And that's even admitted by was the doctor who was in Trump. He just had a book come out, Scott. There's too many Scots in the world. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. Troll should know it. He even said, you know, Burks was really not Galloway, not Gottlieb. Come on, people. Jeez, get with it. No, it's not Gottlieb. That's the shill from Pfizer. No.
Oh, Adams.
No, that's the shill from Dilbert. You guys. Okay. Atlas, thank you very much. Scott Atlas. There you go.
Scott
Atlas. Oh, my goodness.
Why would you bring him into it that you brought brothers on yourself?
No, that's because in his book that just came out that a producer gave us, actually, he says the person responsible for that was Burke. She was the one that was out on the road. So we have that evidence, and now she's back as the, you know, as COVID is getting worse, and we've got, or apparently, one of these PCR tests, home tests, I don't know. There's no data, no information anymore. You know, there's nothing on the screen on the right-hand side, so we're not tracking it yet. But she reappears, and we already mentioned this, that she was going through a transformation with her hair. Now, John, if you didn't know it was Deborah Burks, you would have a hard time recognizing her. She's done away with the scarves. Now she's doing very bright. And this is like intelligence officer identity change 101. And of course, she comes from an intelligence background. Saying. She is completely turning into a different person. Same message, but a different person. And it's a very bad look. It's, you know, now it's like, and by the way, the blonde of her hair is beautiful, but it's clearly not a Pierre cut. It's not a Davos shape either. It's too long to be age appropriate, in my opinion, as a television producer. But yeah, I mean, you should see if you can see an updated picture of her online, because it's freaky. So she's changed her identity, and I'm thinking, is it because she's so embarrassed of what she did?
No, maybe she's one of those women.
No, because if you look back historically, you have to go back really far to see a real difference in her. I don't think she's one of these, like Madonna. This is like a Madonna level switch. Remember when Madonna go like, what? That's Madonna? And all of a sudden, boom, that's Madonna? And I'm, huh? Oh, man. And now these days, ooh, that's Madonna.
Oh, please.
listen to Burks.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing. Oh, I see her. Oh, she looks terrible. She looks like an old woman.
Well, the key thing about masking is you have to wear them in order for them to work.
Now, listen carefully, because in this, we'll soon discover what her agenda is.
Well, the key thing about masking is you have to wear them in order for them to work. And so when you see these rates in cities, it's because a lot of us, when we get together, we don't wear masks when we're with our friends and families around the dining room table. And frankly, that's where a lot of spread is occurring. When you're in contact with people and their air that they're breathing, because it remains suspended in the air, then that can be a very real reason why it isn't really evident that masks are working well. But I know masks work well because I have worn them in multiple situations where people on either side of me were positive and I have not become infected. And the 9 of us in my immediate household that have had to stay negative because we have vulnerable people in our household, we've upgraded our masks to make sure that they are working and they fit well. And so I still mask on airlines, but mandates should never be an excuse for not empowering the American people with the knowledge that they need to understand why masks work and why they should be used in certain situations. And I think sometimes we use mandates because we don't want to take the time to explain the science and the data and really have people understand who should be using them and why they should be using them.
So,
wait a minute, what kind of science is this? I was at a table. Mm-hmm. And some people had COVID, mm-hmm. and I had a mask, so I know it works. Hey, I was at a table. I know people had COVID. I didn't have a mask, so I know masks aren't necessary. I mean, you can't use that as that's not scientific in any way.
So she possibly is telling fibs for an agenda. I really had to think about this. Like, what is going on? I know that her daughter, this doesn't hurt. Her daughter works for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. That's fine. It's probably even more fine that her daughter works there, because I found several news articles that explain exactly what's happening. Dr. Deborah Birx is now the chief science officer of Active Pure. Active Pure. You see, all of her examples were indoors. So Active Pure is an air filtration company.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
proven to reduce over 99.9% of the virus that causes COVID-19. Yes, both on surfaces and in the air. Exactly.
Well, we know that COVID-19 doesn't transmit by surfaces. That was discovered a year or two after the
Hello. You don't have Dr. Deborah Birx as your chief science officer, so shut up, okay?
I have her right here. Deborah, what do you think?
So there's your after sales from the elite who kind of couldn't hang. She couldn't hang.
I don't get the hair. Not that I care, but I know you're like a hair nut.
She's in TV spokesmodel mode, because pretty soon it'll be, "Hi, I'm Dr. Deborah Birx. Would you like your family to be safe?" Or, "Hi, I'm Dr. Deborah Birx. Would you like your company and employees to feel safe? Have your HR contact Active Pure today, because without it, you could have lawsuits." I'm telling you, it's a genius.
Actually, that "you could have lawsuits" angle is the real sales pitch.
Speaking of such, can you give us an update on MePoo?
MePoo?
Yeah.
Oh, MePoo.
Come on, man.
You talking about Amber Heard?
Yes, I'm hip with it now. Now I know the lingo. And you caught it pretty quick. So, that's the
I
only
think
thing.
I may have one lone clip that just has one anomaly in it. I don't think. Maybe I don't.
Well, hold on.
I get the rundown.
Now, back to real news.
I promised I would play that jingle if we did this.
As well you should. I will say a couple of things about the case was resolved with Depp getting $15 million, and then she got $2 million for something Depp's lawyer said.
Mm-hmm.
The analysis was kind of interesting after the fact by some of the lawyers on the court TV, which the public didn't get to hear too much of. For one thing, Amber Heard didn't write that piece in the Washington Post. It was written by
the ACLU,
some lawyers, and the ACLU.
Yeah.
They say that she could sue them both.
Oh, who said they can sue? Oh, these lawyers?
Well, the court TV experts. They're all a bunch of superstar lawyers that come on there and yak about stuff. And they said, yeah, they could be liable because they're the ones, they're lawyers. They should know what libel looks like when they write it up. She should turn around and sue them for the $10 million.
By the way, the only winner of any court case is always the lawyers. Did you see them? That's what I saw. They were celebrating. They were crying. Oh my God, we made a million bucks.
They were being cheered.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the thing about the other thing is that the media has skewed this thing in favor of Amber Heard for some unknown reason. Mimi's completely baffled by it. And for example, one example is that it's made to sound as though, Johnny Depp won the basic case for $10 million, and punitive, he got $5 million punitive. But in Virginia, the maximum punitive by law is only $350,000. So the judge has to pull that back to $350,000. But they make it sound that nobody mentions this. That little factoid is not mentioned by the media. They just make it sound like, well, maybe it's a little unfair, and so she pulled it back to $350,000.
I wish I had some examples of this.
You do?
No, not really. In fact, I want you to move it along, because you know people are rolling their eyes.
Well, they should do it. Actually, most people are kind of interested in this.
I have one question.
This woman seems to be a borderline personality disorder psycho, And she just lied all along. The jury saw through it, and that was the end.
I have a question for you as our resident expert. Did we ever find out who pooped in the bed?
No.
Now, this is that's not a payoff.
They should have done a DNA sample. I don't know why they didn't take it. You know, they just threw the poop out.
The Root had this headline, which was fun to pick up. Amber Heard verdict sends a message to black women everywhere.
What?
Yes. If the mistreatment of a wealthy, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white actress is ridiculed by the world, what does that mean for black women? These are very... these are
people hard up for something to write about.
Yeah, these are articles that are not helpful. But The Root is pretty popular.
No, these are not helpful articles. No. These are just making things worse.
Yeah.
And I don't see that Amber supposedly is going to appeal, but I don't see she's broke.
She's broke in more ways than one. That's yeah, right. To me, it was two junkies. It's just two junkies. They're both junkies. Two junkies.
High-end junkies.
I'm sorry. Hey, that's a possible title. High-end junkies. I kind of like it. Or that could be, that's a band name.
High-end junkies. Well, to any band can name themselves that. Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. They're both high-end junkies, high-end to an extreme.
Yep.
I mean, I think her wine of choice, thanks to Johnny, is Vega Sicilia. That's the very expensive Rioja. That's like
I know you paid attention to that.
I did.
Of course, this fabulous news overshadowed more Hunter Biden stuff, overshadowed the Sussman trial. Pretty much overshadowed anything else, and even the numbers. All the stations cut to it live. Oh, everyone was so jacked up about it. So lots of stuff happened that we missed that was not in the media since we deconstructed. Oh, by the way, Tim has been working on the website, adding some more actually podcasting 2.0 features to the website. And guess what else is there?
The mission statement.
Yes. Right from the home page at the top is our mission statement. You click on that, and you can look at it.
You understand what's going on.
And we also have...
Before complaining to us, read that.
And we also have been gifted noagenda.net.
Oh,
so
nice.
So it's getting shorter and shorter. We're from No Agenda Show to No Agenda.
Noagenda.com.
Now, .com is some band called No Agenda.
I know. Until they break up.
No, I think they are. I think two of the guys are dead and they're not playing. You know, the other guys are in a fight.
Well, just a matter of time.
We do have our 15th anniversary and I think episode 1500 all coming up near the end of this year, don't we?
Yeah, that's the hope. That'll make up for lost time.
Lost. Okay. What is it, a time machine?
Yes. all right, since you mentioned it, should we get back to the topics?
Yeah.
Let's go to Durham Loses.
Ah, excellent.
There's been a major defeat for a special counsel appointed to uncover possible wrongdoing while the government investigated Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential campaign. John Durham, who was appointed during the Trump administration, failed to win a conviction in his first courtroom test. NPR Justice correspondent Carrie Johnson reports.
Prosecutors accused attorney Michael Sussman of lying to the FBI during a meeting that took place weeks before the 2016 election. The jury took only about 6 hours to reach a verdict, not guilty.
I told the truth to the FBI, and the jury clearly recognized that with their unanimous verdict today.
That's Sussman addressing a crowd outside the courthouse.
Despite being falsely accused, I'm relieved that justice ultimately prevailed in my case.
This was the first case to go before a jury in a criminal probe that was launched when Donald Trump was still president. Former Attorney General Bill Barr appointed Durham to examine the origins of the FBI investigation into the former president and Russia. Trump had hoped Durham would find something shady or dodgy about the investigators. 3 years later, Durham has turned up very little. Shortly before Sussman spoke, 7 members of the jury filed out of the courthouse. I caught up with the forewoman who didn't want to share her name. She said, quote, "I think we could have spent our time more wisely. It didn't pan out in the government's favor, and that's on them," she added. Sussman's lawyers adopted a blunter tone. They said Sussman never should have been charged in the first place and called the case extraordinary prosecutorial overreach. Politics is no substitute for evidence, they said.
What kind of read was that? Where was that from, just out of curiosity?
Let's see. It was very slanted against Trump and this whole case and the whole idea of this even going on. Take a guess.
Oh, NPR?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a she can't read. She needs some coaching.
That's the way that they can read. That's how they read. It's code.
So
this case was a flop. I mean, the jury was mishandled. It was like a bunch of Hillary supporters and even Sussman's. I'm told one of Sussman's
daughter's friends who plays tennis or something together. This is the problem. This is what. I mean, this is the only thing you'll hear conservative, right-wing, screw it, Megyn Kelly, Tim Pool, they'll be talking about this for days and days. Oh, it's so unfair.
I have one clip, that's as far as I go.
it's so wrong, and it was stacked, and you know, it was friends, in a way, though, a jury of your peers is exactly what they got. And so that says more about Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Washington, D.C. is
than anything at all. But it also obfuscates such an easy one that all these jamokes are talking around in circles and they're missing the announcement by the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency, CISA. Remember, these are the people who are responsible for all the computer systems, also voting systems in the previous election. They bulked up and made sure everything was the most secure election in history. And so now we have the CISA announcing electronic voting machines from a leading vendor used in at least 16 states has software vulnerabilities that leave them susceptible to hijacking if unaddressed. Now, of course, they follow that up by saying there's no evidence the flaws in the Dominion voting system's equipment have been exploited to alter election results in the past. But this is the news. I mean, so now all of a sudden we have a problem with these voting machines. Really?
I would have never. I'm shocked.
Shocked?
I'm shocked. I had never heard of any such a thing. I never heard that there'd be a voting machine that's electronic. It's not just that thing you pull and, you know, and that thing clicks over.
I still think we go back to the finger in the inkwell, personally. But this is from Associated Press.
We never had that ever.
Oh, no, in Afghanistan. That's in the Middle East. In Afghanistan, we did.
That's what I said. In the Middle East, you can do that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's what we should do here. You might be right.
That's what I just said, only you gave me shit over it.
I did, because you said we should go back to as if we ever had done that. I gave you shit about your timeline.
Thank you. I'm personally from the Netherlands, so.
What? They did that there?
No, I have no idea.
now I'm just
messing around.
Biden.
All right, I'm trying to Biden you, man. All right. So we have this, and everyone's talking around in circles. All the so-called free media are being led by the nose to talk about the Sussman part, whereas this is much more interesting. And, you know, let's have a little in-depth information and knowledge about what kind of vulnerabilities. We don't get any of that from the tech press. No, they're too busy saying crypto's crashing. But Senator Mo Brooks.
Dude, why'd you bring that in out of the blue? They're too busy talking about Amber Heard. Anyway, go on.
You're right. Mo Brooks is, he's a senator. What is he from, Mo Brooks? Or Mo?
I think he's Alabama, isn't he?
Something like that.
Missouri?
So he's on Missouri, sounds right. He's on Fox News. And the and just to show you how voting machines have not come in the conversation in a minute before what just happened, what I'm going to play. Voting machines have not come up at all. It's all about January 6th and, you know, etc.
The insurrection.
No, he's not saying the insurrection. And then all of a sudden, the Fox News model throws this shit out.
But what is now done in 2020 is irreversible under the United States Constitution and the United States Code. And I'm one of those who believes in law and order. I might not like it that that's the end game, but that is the end game.
And just to go on the record, there has been still no evidence or proof provided that there was any sort of fraud in that.
Well, no, that's wrong. I don't know why you people in the media keep saying that, but that is absolutely false. That is absolutely false. You keep saying it every time, but that's absolutely false.
News model, meet your match.
Had 150 congressmen and senators who absolutely disagreed with you on what you just said. So what are you calling them? What are you calling them when you say 150 Republican senators and congressmen looked at the voter fraud issue and said there was a major problem? What are you calling the Commission on Federal Election Reform, a bipartisan committee with Jimmy Carter on the one hand and James Baker, Ronald Reagan, White House Chief of Staff on the other, back in 2005, who analyzed the systemic weaknesses, the systemic flaws in our election system and warned us that elections are going to be stolen if we don't fix these problems, and those problems were not fixed. Okay. So I don't know who's telling you there's no evidence.
Mo is basically reading the Wikipedia on election from memory, I might add. And the news model's going to try and get the conversation back.
That tells me you haven't done your homework. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is.
The courts and the judges that have...
No, the courts. Wait, time out. Don't go into that. Don't go into that.
She's not going to get a thing past him.
This is fantastic. But you know what's happening is the control room is sending her... She doesn't know this. You can see her looking... You can't see that, of course, with our show. She's looking down, she's getting her info, she's getting shit in her ear. She's like, meanwhile, there's steam starting to smoke. Smoke is starting to come from her orifices.
The courts and the judges that have...
No, the courts. No, wait, time out. Don't go into that. Don't go into that.
All right.
Don't
go into that.
The courts do not have the... Wait a minute. No. I'm getting in the last word on this one because you just made a false statement, okay? The courts are not the final arbiter of who wins federal election contests. Congress is. That is required by the United States Constitution. That is required by the United States Code for congressmen and senators and the president. So don't be surprised that courts don't...
Oh, he's schooling her on constitutional issues now. The Fox News model's going down.
The power that is authorized the United States Congress.
Let me just quote the GOP commissioner in Wisconsin in the Wall Street Journal today, printed, and I will read it verbate. He said there is no...
She's going to read it verbate?
Yes. This is my mid-clip kicker.
Verbate.
Now, before we laugh too hard, what does verbate actually mean? Is there such a word?
I don't know.
Because it's verbatim.
Verbatim is the word you use in that context.
Let's see. Well, here is verbate. All right. So I think...
If she's correct, it's by accident. I guarantee
to
it.
To transcribe or reproduce word for word.
Okay, so she's right. As we mock her.
I feel really stupid now.
You feel stupid? It's not the game uses. No one says that.
But I wonder how it happened. Did someone misspell it? It's really from 16th century English, so okay. All right. It's hard not to laugh, but
I think she's it's like we did this on the show about 5-6 years ago, where the black idiom for saying you ax me,
uh-huh,
and I'll tell you. And it turns out that ax me instead of ask.
Oh, is correct, yeah.
It's correct in Chaucerian England.
Yes. Yes.
It goes way back.
Yep. Yeah.
And there's a number of black idioms.
Another racist old white man moment of the show.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, hold on, before you go there. Verbate is not the same as verbatim. Verbate is to transcribe or reproduce word for word. Verbatim, hold on. So that's reproduce word for word. Verbatim is in exactly the same words as were used originally.
It's just a variation on the same definition.
I just want to be right in this. All right, go back to the...
You're not going to make it.
Go back to
it's
the axe.
It's just like ask.
Go axe. Back to the axe.
And there's a number of other ones, and they all turn out to be legit, but extremely archaic.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
Yeah, nothing. But
nothing you can do.
For some reason,
people stumble onto these things.
It still felt funny.
This is. That is required by the United States Constitution. That is required by the United States Code for congressmen and senators and the president. So don't be surprised that courts don't usurp the power that is authorized the United States Congress.
Let me just quote the GOP commissioner in Wisconsin in the Wall Street Journal today, printed, and I will read it verbatim. He said, there is no evidence that election fraud is the reason Trump lost in Wisconsin, and that is not for lack of looking. His advice to your party is to pivot away from these conspiracy theories, focus on the issue
that affects
Wisconsin families and their pocketbooks. Sir, I want to move on to January 6th.
Look at the judge's opinion.
See what she tried to do there? She gets the final word, and then, and now I want to move on.
Advice to your party is to pivot away from these conspiracy theories,
woman?
Focus on the issue that affects.
She's the surprise. She's the blonde. She's the blonde on Fox News.
Absolutely nothing.
I'll look her up.
Wisconsin families and their pocketbooks.
She should be ashamed of herself.
Okay.
Fox has gone down.
Look at the.
Hold on. What?
Fox doesn't even try to.
I think this is Allison.
The fact
no,
that it's a front for the Democrats.
Fox News hosts. Let's see.
Oh, there's pages and pages of them.
No, I'll recognize her.
Judge's opinion. Look at the judge's opinion in Pennsylvania that talked about over 2 million illegal ballots cast. That was their court order. Look
Sir,
at the special investigation
the
of a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice who found significant voter fraud at nursing homes in the state of Wisconsin. Okay. Look at the 2000 Mules documentary that has come out. Look at how many mass mail out of ballots there were across the United States for which we have no security.
Sandra Smith. We're kind of, you know, standard Fox News model.
It's funny that they, you know, Fox get, you know, no matter what Fox does, they can keep doing this. They can take the side of the Democrats on all these issues, but they still get slammed for being Fox. It's ironic.
It is. That's just the way it is.
You know, why don't you just give up and go the other way?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go back to your roots.
Just one more thing on what I call the purge. You know, because everything around January 6th, anything that touched Trump, anything Republican, anything conservative,
Republican,
and anything not flying the flags of Ukraine is bad. And this kind of, who produced Sonic the Hedgehog 2? Which studio is that?
I thought it was Warner Brothers, but I could be wrong.
Okay, well, I'd like to know because here's a clip, and I've not, although I was involved in the launch of Sonic the Hedgehog, the video game, with Will Smith, I might add, back
in slap ya?
back in the 90s, wouldn't that have been cool? I found it to be quite a delightful man. I've never seen any of it, never played any of the games, and so now
I have.
Well, okay. So there's
excellent game.
So there's the nemesis. Is it Egghead? What's his name?
I don't know.
Okay, whatever his name is. Listen to what he says. He's the evil guy. He's the baddie in the show, and he's talking to Sonic.
It's over, Eggman.
Eggman.
I like the new look. It works for you. What do you say we just let bygones be bygones? I did some things, you did some things. There are good people on both sides.
You know that was put in there. Is this not a Disney movie? But this by itself is disqualifying.
Did somebody look it up or do you want me to do it? Somebody in the chat room should have looked up the production.
No, they're too busy trolling each other. They're not doing any work.
They've lost it.
Yeah, they have. I know. So that's kind of how. What else did I have in the purge? I have something else there? No, it's all the same.
All right.
Yes.
Let's see what we got in the list.
You have a number of
minor
things.
Stories.
Let's do a big story. Let's do it. Or
what's the big story? Big story is you still Ukraine.
Yes.
And then clips from Biden's Annapolis speech where he's
just
off the rails.
The big story. Don't you know the big story?
About the giant plant?
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband has been charged with driving under the influence. Police picked up Paul Pelosi in Napa, California, Saturday night. He's since been released on $5,000 bail. Speaker Pelosi was on the East Coast at the time, a spokesperson saying she won't be commenting on this private matter.
I think he actually had an accident and was then stopped for drunk driving.
Well, out here, the story has two stories. There's two stories.
Oh, okay.
Well, he got into a conflagration in an accident with a Jeep. The other driver was unhurt. Story one, the Jeep caused the accident. Story two, he hit the Jeep.
Yeah, this is always a tough one, isn't it?
And now we get they haven't followed up with
it. Where's Mothers Against Drunk Driving? Where are they standing up and saying, shame on you, shame on you? Where's that?
Well, that's a good point.
It's not hard to make.
No.
It's
driving around rich guy drunk in a Porsche.
Yeah, it's while
world's worst combination, a rich old guy in a Porsche.
Well, of course, funny, but yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, maybe, you know what I think the big story is? I think the war on guns is the big story. That to me is the big story because everyone's talking about it, and I have a little clip here that includes the announcement from Justin.
I'm not sure if it was...
Oh, I'm sorry, that's not the one. This is from ABC. Here we go.
In Canada, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government introduced legislation to put a national freeze on handgun ownership. The package would cap the market for handguns, making it illegal to buy, sell, transfer, or import them anywhere in Canada. Trudeau made the announcement surrounded by families of shooting victims.
But as a government, as a society, we have a response.
That was kind of a weird read, by the way. Listen how she says he was...
...made the announcement surrounded by families of shooting victims.
There's victims shooting all over the place. It's kind of a weird read.
But as a government, as a society, we have a responsibility to act to prevent more tragedies. We need only look south of the border to know that if we do not take action firmly and rapidly, it gets worse and worse and more difficult to counter.
Also included in Canada's new legislation, long gun magazines will never hold more than 5 rounds. The law is expected to be enacted this fall.
So this all comes on the heel of...
5 rounds.
This all comes on the heels of several mass shootings in the United States. I think there were 3 more yesterday. Not entirely unpredicted, considering the mental trauma people have gone through in the past 2.5 years. People are popping off. And, you know, God knows what else is going on. But, you know, we're an easy target for that. And this is clearly the global push. New Zealand just did it. Jacinda dropped by Joe to talk about it. Now this with Canada, which, of course, this has the predictable results. This is the president of a sporting goods store in Canada.
I'm not sure if it was intentional or not, but Mr. Trudeau and his government have become the best handgun salesmen in all of Canada. I have never seen activity at this level. Clients are calling. They're walking in. We have lineups. The phones are ringing off the hook. We can't keep up with the amount of demand there is right now because everyone is aware this is coming to an end. And for those that want to get one more handgun for their collection, they are looking to pick it up now.
Remember when Obama was the number one gun salesman?
Every time, we've done this show for almost 15 years. Every time somebody like Trudeau comes out and does something like this, and I don't understand why you don't immediately go invest in one Smith & Wesson. It's just every time that one of these guys does this, and you just as you're going to say, Obama did the same thing, and the sales skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Skyrocketed.
We've invested in Smith & Wesson about 3 times.
Thank you, Obama. Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. And, of course, you know, we have these mass shootings. All shootings are horrible, but, you know, we have to protect the children because the children are dying. But you rarely hear this as the M5M narrative. Again, ABC.
Calls for peace in Chicago over the holiday weekend went unanswered as shootings increased over last year. 48 people were shot in the Windy City between Friday and Monday. 9 of the victims died. Jeez. This year's gunfire included 2 mass shootings on Sunday. Last year in Chicago, 37 people were shot over Memorial Day.
Now, what's being played up more, huh? Uvalde is so messed up. It's so messed up. The reporting, the timeline.
I have the definitive Uvalde report, whatever you want to call it. The Uvalde report. It's in the list here somewhere.
Yes, I see it. Can I just make one quick statement?
I want your statement after this, because this is the definitive report.
The story of what happened in Uvalde, Texas, leading up to and during a mass shooting that killed 19 children and two adults, well, it's a story that keeps on changing.
Yes.
So, tell me that's not the definitive report.
That's the definitive report. I've spoken to more law enforcement. There's all kinds of different timelines. But in essence, all the reporting that we've heard, like the cops went in to get their own kids first, based on a very different story. all of that is really, really messed up. We don't know what's going on. But if the intent was to kick off more gun legislation conversations, which we have now, it's just been introduced, and to make cops look good, mission achieved. Whether that was the setup or whether that's how the sad occurrence was misused. And here it is, H.R. 7910, Protecting Our Kids Act, put in by your buddy Jerry Nadler, along with your other buddy, Mr. Thompson of California, and my buddy, Miss Jackson Lee. A bill to amend Title 18 to provide an increased age limit on the purchase of certain firearms, prevent gun trafficking, modernize the prohibition on untraceable firearms, encourage the safe storage of firearms and for other purposes. So it would be proposed is 21 years of age for certain semi-automatic center rifles or center shotgun semi-automatic. Then the prohibition on straw purchases, meaning I can't give you a gun or I can't sell you a gun without that being registered and written down. These are very polarizing things for Americans. Requirement that all firearms be traceable. Good luck with that. That includes the modernization of the prohibition on undetectable firearms. Safe storage. Bump stocks, I guess. Closing the bump stock loophole. I haven't looked.
I thought bump stocks were made illegal.
There's a loophole because you can use a bobby pin. We got to ban bobby pins for auto sears and bump stocks. I don't know. You can use a tennis ball. Yeah. And then use of burn grants, BYRNE, for buyback programs for large capacity ammunition feeding devices. What is that?
I have no. This is new.
Large capacity.
There's got to be a YouTube video about it.
So this, I still don't think this has any chance. And you know, it will. Of course, everyone with a brain knows that this won't stop anybody who's determined to do something. It won't stop a kid who has, $2,000-$3,000 to buy some beautiful weapons. A week before he's going to go use them. That's one of these interesting things. Make an amendment or shut up. That's the only way it's going to happen. An amendment or shut up. Are you going to rim shot me?
Oh.
I think we can go on the road like this.
I could just have this little hand drum.
Let me see. Was there anything else? Now that's pretty much where it's at. It is. You can clearly see. Oh, that's me this time.
This is, by the way, a new technique.
What are you doing? Stop that right away. That sounds horrible. Whatever that is.
I did nothing.
I hear something clicking.
That's not me.
Oh, maybe that was the phone. Okay.
I don't know what it was.
That was really weird.
Right now, the only thing I'm equipped to do is this.
Okay. Well, that's good. Good. Don't do too much, but
I'm probably stop doing it.
I think, so right now we have the elites of the world really trying.
I was going to make a point. They've changed their technique from having one big event like Sandy Hook and then trying to make hay with it to let's do a couple in a row and see if maybe that works.
Yeah, cynically, I agree with you. Sadly, I think that this this truly is just the state of society and the state of kids on, well, I mean, on a variety of drugs.
How about focusing on Chicago? Oh, wait, you can't do that because, even though they have 48 dead, because they have some of the strictest gun laws in the world.
Yes, yes, of course. And what you can't do in the protecting our... What was it called, that thing? Hold on a second. They called it the Protecting Our Kids Act. What's funny is I don't see anything in there about protecting our kids from opioids and fentanyl and other things that are very dangerous, of which a lot of young people die. I don't see that. It doesn't seem to be any legislation set up for that.
No. Of course not.
But out of chaos, order out of chaos, isn't that whose slogan is that? Order out of chaos. Is that the New World Order? Is that the Illuminati?
I don't know.
Because I think that's what we're seeing. You know, they're trying it again, and they're showing, because now it'll be, up north, our neighbors, the smart North Americans, they're the ones who get it. They're the ones who took back all the guns.
Lock up more truckers, Canada.
But that's how it's going to be used. And a lot of people are still in the mass formation and will go along with it. And I had a thought. Actually, one of our producers set me off about this. So around the world now, we have the same problem we have in the United States with air transportation. And it's become a huge problem. Here it is. This is UK.
Now, it's a bumper week for travel in the UK. We have got a double whammy of half term and the Jubilee bank holiday. And as millions of us take trips at home and abroad, we are warned to expect delays and disruption. We've already seen massive queues at airports this week.
Now, if you looked at any of the UK news reporting, it's been a disaster. And the Brits, they take these holiday weeks very seriously. They all have to fly out or sail out on the boat because you want to get off the island. You want to take your strong pounds and you want to go spend those in Southern Europe and go mess up Portugal. And they get on the big organized flights, and most of those went belly up, I think, during COVID. So now we have the airlines who just cannot seem to complete the flights. They say it's flight crews. You know, that's the main reason for pilots and other flight crew personnel. Interestingly, the same thing is happening, and we talked about in the last episode, at Schiphol Airport in the Netherlands, and specifically with KLM. And they even stopped selling tickets because they said they don't have enough security personnel. And that's interesting because the World Economic Forum ID program, I think I don't know if we had a clip of it last time, where they mentioned their partners for this universal ID thing. We're KLM and I think it's Heathrow or Gatwick. I mean, if you're looking in the world of chaos, here it is, the known traveler identity card, Canada and the Netherlands. There it is. So Canada was also a part of it. And they kind of solved that by not letting unvaccinated people fly. That's probably why they're holding that back. But wouldn't it be great to then say, oh, you know, the reason is because we don't have efficient security. So here's the new efficient way. It's the new trusted traveler. We've got your biometrics and now you can just fly right through. Wouldn't that be the perfect problem reaction solution? Because it's getting out of hand and it's every single airport. And if this is not the plan, holy crap, the Curry Dvorak Consulting Group strongly advises this is the time to bring in some phony baloney ID scam you got going and tell people it's going to solve the queues.
Yeah, you're right. We need some phony baloney idea.
Well, this is it. The phony baloney idea is the security is outdated. We can't get personnel because, you know, it's people are too stupid to be that. I don't know. Come up with anything. There's no one stupid enough to want to do it anymore. But now we've got this cool system. It's like I had to pay a small penalty to the IRS for filing late. And this is due June 6th. I'm like, okay, I'll just do it online. Oh, my God. Have you been through this process?
No.
Oh.
We do stuff on time.
No, you don't. I know you don't.
No, we file an extension, but we always send money in April.
Well, I had not sent in enough in April. And so I got a ding. Okay. Which is okay. It happens. Not a big deal. I thought I had already pre-calculated everything, but not, whatever. And so I go online, and it's this IRS ID. So, you know, the old system is gone. Or I think you can maybe log into it, but if you make one mistake, they block you for 24 hours. I've been down that path. So I'm like, okay, this part of my life, I'm just going to have to go with it. I have no other option, really. And I might as well just get it over with and see what the experience is. I took one for the team. I did it for the show. So you have to upload front and back of your driver's license. Then it'll send you a link, and you take a selfie. And what's interesting is this widget on this web page, when it takes a selfie, it's doing a complete 3D model of my face. And it's showing you while it's doing that. You're looking at your face, and it's doing... And it's getting all these data points to compare, they say, to compare to your driver's license. I mean, this
doesn't make sense.
This is, well, I'm just telling you, that's what they say. And this is some dystopian shit. Now, the funny thing is, my selfie camera on my phone is broken. I mean, it's not really broken, but it looks like the lens is fogged up, really fogged up. And it was still doing this through the fogged up part.
Yeah, it's called theater.
Yes, and then I had this other thought. You know, you know how the cell phone, mine doesn't, but I think most modern cell phones, you can use the regular camera to detect a QR code.
Oh yeah, I got the cheap phones that you know, and mine do that. Yours doesn't.
No, that's by design. And
well, because you're using
Graphene OS. Yeah.
Yeah, you're using it.
But so that means that you are basically. Multiple times a day for some people, multiple times an hour, are allowing applications to run. Yeah, maybe it could only be Apple or Google, but who knows, that have all kinds of high-end recognition running. When you take a picture, I mean, there's clearly something running to detect if there's a QR code. Could be, you know, detecting the background, storing that a little bit, and doing all kinds of stuff.
It's definitely doing something.
Yeah, none of this is good. I got some more Harari stuff.
Is that how the story ends?
Well, no. Where I was going to take us is new clips from Yuval Noah Harari, Klaus Schwab's personal advisor. Now, I played a clip from him on the last show.
Yes, it disgusted me.
Well, so I have had some time to look at some longer. In fact, the clip that came from, I watched the entire interview, watched a couple others. I don't know necessarily if he's all in on this. He seems to be very, intellectual about it. No, that's not the word. Anyway, he's just observing it as a historian, saying, "Well, this is what's happening." Not necessarily that he's all in. So, but I think the people who read him and follow him and believe in him and have read his best, you know, New York Times bestseller, that they probably think he's right. And I don't know if I can disagree, although it's, you know, this is unfortunately the stuff that the Davos crew take with them and start to operate on. So it's good to know what he's saying. These are pretty short. This is him talking about humans. It's kind of the precursor to the clip I played on the last episode and why they are not necessary or will not be necessary.
But in the 21st century, there is a good chance that most humans will lose. They are losing their military and economic value. In the military, it's done. It's over. The age of the masses is over. We are no longer in the First World War. We take millions of soldiers, give each one a rifle and run forward. And the same thing perhaps is happening in the economy. Maybe the biggest question, I think, of 21st century economics is what will you need people for, or most people for, in 2050 in the economy? And once people are no longer really necessary, most people, for the military and for the economy, the idea that you will continue to have mass medicine is not so certain.
So that's what caught my ear. The idea that you'll have mass medicine as people become less useful to the economy, which would be, and he has this whole spiel about people basically have intelligence and they have conscience. And conscience is, yeah, that's kind of important, you know, versus self-driving cars, that you have a conscience about who you, if you're going to kill yourself or the pedestrian, or, you know, when you make a choice like that. But there's so much of the intelligence stuff that computers are much better at. So we'll really be creating a different class of people. And that's what we had on the last show. He was talking about, oh, there'll be drugs and video games. But when it comes to mass medicine, this was interesting because this may be one of the last mass medicine events we've seen, since it seems to have failed so spectacularly. And here's Harari discussing a new class of humans.
In the Middle Ages, you had this image that how does a person die? Suddenly the angel of death appears and touches you on the shoulder and says, come, it's your time has come. And you say, no, give me some more time. And death says, no, you have to come, and that's it. This is how you die. And today we don't think like that. People never die because the angel of death comes. They die because the heart stops pumping, or because an artery is clogged, or because cancerous cells are spreading in the liver or somewhere. These are all technical problems. And in essence, they should have some technical solution. And this way of thinking, I think, is now becoming very dominant in scientific circles and also among the ultra rich. They are understanding, wait a minute, something is happening here. For the first time in history, if I'm rich enough, maybe I don't have to die. That is optional. Again, and if you think about it from the viewpoint of the poor, it looks terrible, because throughout history, death was the great equalizer. The big consolation of the poor throughout history was that, okay, these rich people, they have it good, but they're going to die just like me. But think about a world, say, in 50 years, 100 years, where the poor people continue to die, but the rich people, in addition to all the other things they get, they also get an exemption from death. That's going to bring a lot of anger.
So, you know, when I hear that, I'm like, yeah, that could be one of the core problems that we're seeing with the elites running our world. Silicon Valley elites, political elites, a lot of them very wealthy. A lot of them surprisingly spry and doing well at their old age, I might add. I think, you know, transhumanism.
Would you put Joe Biden in that camp? He's
no, elite. No, but they have complete control over him. They don't want him smart. They want him dumbing down. That's control. They know he has a technical problem. They're just maintaining him. So that's, it may be the best example of what's happening
this is
here.
Cheap science fiction.
Oh really?
This guy sounds like he's repeating old books. I mean, these are books that were written in the 50s.
Yeah, science fiction often comes true. It has a weird way of doing that down the road.
Yeah, it's usually off though. It's aspects will come true, but as Jerry Pournelle used to point out, he says, you know, the funny thing about science fiction is that if you go back historically in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and even into the 50s, there's always robots. There was never computers. Were never no science fiction writer ever perceived the computer revolution until after it happened.
I beg to differ. I believe Vincent Appleton, who wrote the Tom Swift series, I think he had computers in Tom Swift's one of his books in 1900.
Well, you could say
I'll look
that,
it up for you. I read most of them, so that's why I'm saying.
I read a lot of Tom Swift books too for some reason.
Yeah, I can say
that's the common bond we have.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Except you read first cover editions. Fuck, I've screwed up the punchline, damn it.
Yeah, you did.
You set me up.
First cover's a stamp collector's.
Well, you know what? I screwed it up doubly. Yeah, yeah. First issue.
So, you know, and then the guy, of course, this idea of, you know, living forever by the elites in Silicon Valley was really, really developed by Kurzweil, who's
The transhumanist movement.
Still working on it.
Yeah, and but yeah.
I think
oh no,
got hemorrhoids. Hold on. I don't think he can do anything about that.
I'm not saying that they'll be able to do it. But if you change the healthcare industry towards that, which I think arguably is happening with mRNA. You know, you have a small technical problem. We can fix that with this computer code. I mean, that's a pretty good example of what he's talking about.
Well, genetic engineering would be your better example. But let's go back to something you said, which was this mass medicine bullshit was a big flop. You said something like that.
Was the COVID vaccine a success?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It failed. It did not work.
Was the point that it was supposed to work, or the point it was going to make a lot of people a lot of money?
No, in that regard, it worked. I'm talking in regards to its medical performance, it did not. And that's the conversation. Okay. All right.
It's the difference between you and me.
Well, there you go. That's not
what the idea was. It was to make a, you could tell from the beginning, that's why we're so cynical about the whole thing.
No,
the two of us, we both.
Yes, but we're not even saying, we're saying the same thing, only you seem to think that you're contrarian. I agree with you, of course, but that's what all of this is ultimately about. But the ultra rich, they believe this shit. That's my point. They are
operating. So?
Yes, they are.
Well, actually, that's God.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? They all believe in
it. Okay. You got me on that one. Because most of these guys, from what I can tell, seem to be
all in. Yes. I mean, like a Mark Cuban. Can't you see him totally believing? Now,
Mark Cuban got the jab.
But also, what's his face from Kleiner Perkins? John Doerr. Oh, yeah. Totally. Now, did you read? This was fantastic. There's a huge scandal in Spain. Because I'm looking up here, where the hell was this? It's like 2,000 elites, including CEO of a big pharma company. They all got their fake vaccine passport from this one nurse. You know, soccer stars, television celebrities, and that's now come out. And they actually the CEO. His deal was he got an injection with saline. And there's people hacking who have direct access to the National Vaccine Registry. I mean, this is fantastic. Very, very smart. Smart.
This has to have gone on with certain cliques in this country, too.
It must be.
Your theory about the NBA being most of them is, I believe, a possibility.
Yeah. So... I think that's why the elites are steering us in the I think bottom line, they really believe that people will become useless. Most people will be useless.
Most people are useless, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. So what do you do is you encourage uselessness. And I'm sorry to say it, but I think what people are showing of the LGBTQ+ community, I think a lot of these people are useless to society because they're clearly educators, especially. But I think that this is, you know, give them all the benefits. Hey, be like these people and get benefits and get a longer month on Black History Month and get protected and, be celebrated and get money and get all kinds of stuff. I can just feel it. I can feel that this is closing. I mean, it's 10, 20 years, but I hope we get to witness some of it because I want to see it come true.
What, you want some more money?
No, I just want to make sure we were right. That's all.
Make sure we're right. And where's my check?
Check. Don't hold your breath. It's not going to come through the ATM.
As we head into the summer season, the nation's power grid regulator is issuing a stark warning. Large parts of America could see blackouts in the coming months as climbing temperatures cause surging demand for energy. In its annual summer assessment, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation says that roughly two-thirds of the U.S. faces heightened risks of power outages, noting that the upper Midwest is facing a capacity shortfall, leading to a high risk of energy emergencies, while the entire western U.S. is at elevated risk of power outages in the event of spikes in energy use.
Can they start this already? I wanted to test my generator. I'm waiting for this thing to kick off.
Yeah, well, you'll be the first to know you're in Texas.
Exactly. Well, we have the same color on the chart they showed as California, FYI. Orange.
Yeah, well, it depends. You know, California is spotty, though. It doesn't have like consistent places. Like I'm on a part of the grid that's hooked to the police and fire department.
That's always good.
It's blacked out around me. Yeah. It's never blacked out here.
Yeah.
It's a priority area. I just happen to be in it by coincidence.
Yeah.
Because I've had a situation where my son's, you know, who lives in the same town, is down on the different part of the grid and the matrix. And he gets cut off.
Time? Regularly?
No, not regularly. Like once every year. Maybe. Maybe once a year. It's pretty. It's not like during the. It's always when a Democrat's in office, let's put it that way, which is now all the time, so that can happen at any moment. But it started with Gray Davis and the bull crap when they were, that's why he got kicked out of office. He got recalled because he bought totally into the Enron crap that had taken over California.
Right.
So.
Well, that's still ongoing here. I fully expect something to go wrong in Texas. I mean,
you did the absolute right thing.
Or they should do, I mean, come on, let's... Where's Russia's cyber attack on our vulnerable infrastructure? From a UK perspective, you know, this is the week to do it. And you've got the bank holiday. The Queen should keel over. The ATMs should not work. People can't go. This has always been the prediction. It's going to happen on a bank holiday. That's when they're going to pull the plug.
So I saw the Queen the other day. She was at least on television. I think it's a stand-in.
You sure she's not one of those ABBA illusions?
I'm pretty sure because people were actually touching her. But she has a...
Who was allowed to touch the Queen?
I don't know. She's shaking hands with people.
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
Which then again may prove that's not her.
Mm. So the Queen's Jubilee. How many years is she now?
75 years in office.
In office. All right. You got anything on her?
No, I've got nothing on her. She seems clean as a whistle.
Queen's Jubilee.
Now, tomorrow in the United Kingdom, 4 days of celebration begin, marking the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, 70 years on the throne. The Jubilee is a moment to reflect on the defining moments of Queen Elizabeth's reign. Last night, we looked at how she cemented relations between Britain and a newly independent Ghana. Tonight, we examine the Queen's role in the Northern Ireland peace process.
Yeah, that was my clip.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all there is.
Well, I guess she's alive. I guess I was wrong.
Well, no, you don't know that for sure. She could be a stand-in.
That would be something I would do back in the old days, but it gets too tedious.
You were good with the Hillary stand-ins. You probably
was a stand-in. That was a real stand-in. I've met the Queen.
And I think that our show highlighted that probably better than any show. Broadcast, podcast, anything, because we had it nailed, and you definitely had the purse on the wrong side thing nailed, and it wasn't somebody, even that woman didn't even look like Hillary, and everyone just taking it for granted it was her.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go on to something else.
Okay.
How about since we're on guns, we talked. Oh, let's do it. Here's a light piece. This is Mona Lisa. Somebody attacked the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Here's some thoughts on this.
At the Louvre in Paris yesterday.
Did she say Louvre?
Yes.
At the Louvre? At the Louvre?
At the Louvre.
At the Louvre.
At the Louvre in Paris.
Louvre. She said Louvre.
She had her hair cut by Pierre once. Now she thinks she's a Parisienne.
At the Louvre in Paris yesterday started.
The loofah. Is that the loofah?
At the Louvre in Paris yesterday started as a normal day. Museum goers waiting for their turn to take a look at, maybe snap a photo of Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa.
Suddenly, a man disguised as an old woman jumped out of a wheelchair. Shocked bystanders watched as he threw a piece of cake at the bulletproof glass protecting the painting. As security guards are escorting him out, he yells in French, "Think of the earth. There are people who are destroying the earth. Think about it. Artists tell you, think of the earth. That's why I did this." Luckily, the painting was unharmed. Social media posts showed smeared icing on its glass.
This is not the first time the painting has come under attack. The Mona Lisa is kept behind bulletproof glass for a reason. It's safe to say the Mona Lisa has been through a lot.
Let's see. So there was apparently one in
56, sulfuric acid.
That's Cammie Brothers. She's an associate professor of art history at Northeastern University. She's a specialist on Renaissance art. That acid attack she's describing is why the Mona Lisa is behind glass today.
Another person then that same year, for some reason, threw a rock at it and chipped the glass and damaged the painting ever so slightly.
Then when it was in Tokyo on tour in 1974, someone sprayed red paint on the glass. Then came 2009 when someone threw hot coffee, shattering the mug, not the glass.
Well, this was a partially informative piece.
I know, I found this kind of interesting, and I have to say it relates. I saw the Mona Lisa three times.
Yeah, I've seen the Mona Lisa too.
I saw it in 73 before it went on its tour, and I don't remember it having glass on it, but it might have some glass on it. But it was there, and you could look at it. Nobody was, you know, the people walked by it. And then I saw it again probably 10 to 15 years later, and then there was a rope. One of those little ropes, keep away rope around the painting, which was new. And there was a bunch of people gathered around it because now you made it. Now it's like something, oh, there's a rope around it. You better just go see it. And so then the last time I saw it, I think it was with Mimi. And that's when I think there was a big, thick piece of glass. You could barely see the painting. Mm. And the rope was really big and two guards were there.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, this thing's getting worse and worse by the minute. This reminds me again of one of my stories where you went to Stonehenge before it was roped off. Nobody was there. You could just hang out and sit down and take pictures. I sat on the stones, looked at the cows, which were right nearby, chewing away, and nobody cared. There wasn't anybody there. It was just like, things change. So anyway, here's part two of the Mona Lisa story.
So what is it about the Mona Lisa that causes such outbursts?
I'm not sure that I feel like there's anything about the painting itself that elicits this reaction. I think it's very much the kind of mystique that is created culturally around it.
Whatever his motive, the Associated Press reports that the suspect in yesterday's attack was detained and taken for psychiatric treatment. And as for the Mona Lisa, she's still smiling.
Yeah, okay. Did you have a conclusion about this? Because you said you wanted to say something.
Well, that was what I said about, you know, having seen it, seem gets more and more guarded and people get freakier and freakier.
I think
something that's valuable.
I think the Mona Lisa specifically has been abused throughout the ages when a media distraction was necessary. The machine needs these stories. We just lost Depp and Pooh Girl. The machine needs stories because stuff is going on. You know, this just can't be discussed too much.
What you
never hear is it was the person from Sunrise or, you know, whatever. It's, you know, oh no, it was a man dressed as a woman and threw a cake.
It was a man dressed as an old woman
in a wheelchair.
Why?
Because to obfuscate the, I mean, the whole thing is no one asks, what organization were you from? What part of the earth? Are you a climate change activist?
Come on, man. That is a good example. And this is NPR's National Treasure. This story is underreported. I mean, even though they had all these nice details that you complimented, it's totally underreported.
Yes.
Who exactly was this guy? Let's dig a little deeper.
How about an interview? We interview, you know, this is what the Will Smith slap is about. All of this stuff is intended to distract us, and it's doing a fabulous job. But now we got a problem. The biggest ratings win, although there's going to be a follow-up series with Johnny and the Pooh, the Pooh Girl. This is amusing ourselves to death. That's it. People don't even know why the Mona Lisa is special. You know, I despise the Jesse Waters program. I kind of don't. He irritates me. But I always tune in. You know, you're with me, right?
No, I'm with you on, except for one thing, one major thing.
The man on the street.
No, I always tune in. I never tune in.
No, I I always catch the last 5 minutes because that's how I've set up the recording.
Tucker.
Yes, it leads into Tucker. And and he always has dynamite man on the street packages, which is
that's how he got his start.
Yeah. But now he sends his intern out to do it, you see. So.
Well, that's no good. You know, let's just do a little analysis from producer's perspective.
Yeah. And so why is Man on the Street the best type of entertainment and or reporting, not mutually exclusive?
Well, it's very interesting because you get to see how stupid people are, makes you feel better. That's the basis.
That's the whole idea.
But to do good Man on the Street, I've done it, but I'm no good at it. And I have a friend, Marty, the No Agenda joke writer, is really good, extremely good at it. But Jesse Waters is really good at it too. And I've concluded that's why I don't like somebody else doing it for him, is that it's that look, that crazy kind of Bugs Bunny look of innocence. When you're asking the questions, yeah. That's the key to Man on the Street. Marty Higgins, who's our man on the street, if he was doing anything for us, he has that kind of look that is like, it's so inoffensive looking.
Yeah. Mark Dice was okay for a while.
Screw you.
Mark Dice was okay for a while, but I think even he's become too cynical of doing it. But Jesse Waters, it's a really good job because, you know, it's like, who won the Civil War? I mean, this kind of shit. You know, Germany? You know, and he just put together, and in this case, he's on the beach with babes. With babes!
Smart move.
In bikinis! And babe dudes, too, in bikinis. So you're like, these are young, good-looking people, and they're stupid, they're dumb as rocks, but of course, and then you always have one guy who's like, yep. He has all the answers, and he's like this mystical kind of character. It helps if it's a black guy. And I'm just telling you how it works in production. Oh, man, look at that guy. He's smart, like, you know, kind of like a Denzel type of smart guy with shades on. That's the whole package. But meanwhile,
dumb as rocks.
That's kind of the level that we've sunk to.
Well, Jay Leno was doing this Man on the Street called Walking or something. I can't remember the exact name of his bit, but he did that probably for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go out, and his bit was, he had the kind of a friendly enough look to get away with it, because he went out, and he was the show host, and he went on the street, so Waters has no excuse, but okay. So
Lie Witness News was the segment.
No, that's Jimmy Kimmel's bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. You're right.
It was Walking with Jay or something like that. Jaywalking.
Ah, there it is. Second time you said boom, be careful.
I'm sorry. But how was the last time I said boom? It's been a while.
You just said that I nailed it with the Mona Lisa. You said boom.
I said it again?
Yeah, two times. I'm two times.
Leno goes
minutes.
Out and he has his added little bit was he always tried to find someone that's in at UCLA or at US, some college kid or a law school person in law school that already graduated from college, and ask them the simplest questions they can't answer them, and then he would ridicule the fact that they're hyper educated and as you say, dumb as a rock anyway.
Yeah,
and the collection of that stuff is just—it's phenomenal. It's actually unbelievable.
But it's also—it's always a stark reminder that there is a large portion of the population that really just doesn't care. I mean, and they're living their lives. You know, I got no problem.
They're doing fine.
Yeah. Although, holy crap, man. These kids, everybody I know who's millennial, even upper level millennial, are in deep shit now because their rents are all going up 30%. 30%.
No. Yeah, it's crazy.
They got to move out of cities. I mean, and where to? And then what? And then what do you do? I mean,
an issue.
You did a smart thing. You helped all your kids buy their homes. Get out of mine.
Get out.
Get out.
Well, won't you be lonely, Dad?
No. Oh yeah, real lonely, huh? I need you to come by. You know, when it's time to feed the dog, and walk the dog during the show. So yeah, that is. So our news has now gone to this. All stations broke right away to bring you the Depp trial. Everyone, Tucker spends 10 minutes on it. Come on.
There's no, of course, we decided not to cover it at all both of us kind of simultaneously, except for update, or just mentioning it, or using, you know, phrasing this poo girl thing.
Yeah.
But now we're actually talking about it to an extent, but we do it in context of something else. So we're not actually talking about the case. The case is as interesting as it might be. And my mention that she should sue the ACLU.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Is an interesting way to look at it. But why is the ACLU getting involved in this sort of thing anyway? Getting her to sign off on an op-ed.
Well, that was the Me Too movement.
Had nothing to do with.
But that was the whole Me Too moment. That's what was going on.
She was trying to take advantage of it. She thought it was a good idea. Her publicist thought it was a good idea at the time.
Yes.
Guess not.
No. Now, of course, we can also look at the way bullcrap news is typically done. This is an excellent example. From the, I think the Daily Mail is the one doing the trick here. And the trick goes as follows. You as a big publication say, well, according to the Uganda Times, blah, 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 blah. And the blah, blah, blah from the Uganda Times was written by your agent in Uganda.
By the way, I have a really good clip. You have to look it up. It's called the Stockman CIA prop methodology. It's exactly about what you're talking about. And Stockman's an ex-CIA guy, and he explains it in great detail.
Well, one of the four principal functions of the CIA is to gather intelligence and ideally forward it to the president, the users of information, the policymakers, as they say. There are other functions, however, some of them more legitimate than others. One is to run secret wars, the covert action that's written and talked about so much, like what's happening in Nicaragua today from Honduras. Another thing is to disseminate propaganda to influence people's minds. And this is a major function of the CIA. And unfortunately, of course, it overlaps into the gathering of information. You have contact with a journalist. You will give him true stories. You'll get information from him. You'll also give him false stories. For example, in my war, the Angola war that I helped to manage, one third of my staff was propaganda. Ironically, it's called covert action inside the CIA. Outside, that means the violent part. I had propagandists all over the world, principally in London, Kinshasa, and Zambia. We would take stories which we would write and put them in the Zambia Times, and then pull them out and send them to a journalist on our payroll in Europe. But his cover story, you see, would be that he had gotten them from his stringer in Lusaka, who had gotten them from the Zambia Times. We had the complicity of the government of Zambia, Kenneth Kaunda, if you will, to put these false stories into his newspapers. But after that point, the journalists, Reuters and AFP, the management was not witting of it. Now, our contact man in Europe was. And we pumped just dozens of stories about Cuban atrocities, Cuban rapists. In one case, we had the Cuban rapists caught and tried by the Ovimbundu maidens who had been their victims. And then we ran photographs that made almost every newspaper in the country of the Cubans being executed by the Ovimbundu women who supposedly had been their victims.
These were fake photos?
Oh, absolutely. We didn't know of one single atrocity committed by the Cubans. It was pure, raw, false propaganda to create an illusion of communists, you know, eating babies for breakfast. Totally false propaganda.
And we still think they eat babies for breakfast. It works so well.
It's a good trick.
Who is this Stockman character?
Stockman's an ex-CIA. You can look him up. He's pretty famous. He wrote a book or something. He became kind of a short-lived celebrity as a spook.
That, by the way, was an outstanding example of our system working. You knew what the clip was titled. You actually knew it. Yeah, and that's why I could find it.
Yeah, you found it quickly, and you were playing it before I finished. Good work.
So this system is being used not by the CIA. Palki Sharma.
It could be used by anybody. It's a good system.
Well, here it is. Palki Sharma lays it out for us without knowing she's laying it out. This story has been concocted in the same manner.
Now, there's a wild claim circulating in Britain. It's being attributed to the MI6, and it concerns the well-being of the Russian president. This says that President Putin is dead and that the Kremlin is using his body double for public appearances.
And this came from the Daily Mail, who literally got it from the India Times, some bullshit like this. And that comes through now as, oh, yeah, MI6 says, and no MI6 has spoken, but Putin is dead. It's a body double. And we have the exact opposite with Xi. Xi is also, I don't have a clip, but Xi is also supposed to be dead. We got a bunch of dead guys, and who's fighting then?
I have no idea.
I mean, seriously, it's all, so, but okay, it doesn't matter. But everybody.
Well, those two guys are dead, and we have as president a walking dead.
We do. And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage and say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in combustible. Boom, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adams. Also in the morning to all ships and sea, boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, and all the dames and knights out there.
Okay, you are spiking the meters. You got to back off just a little bit. That went full on red. I had you all the way into the zone. In the morning to the trolls in the troll room, a little slow on the ball today, trolls, but thank you for being here. They're at trollroom.io, where you can listen to the live stream. It's 24 hours a day. Congratulations to Darren O'Neill, the 300th Rock and Roll pre-show, which he does before every single No Agenda episode on the first and second Thursdays of the week. And the trolls were there helping him out. Let's see how many we got here. Come on, trolls. Let me get a little count on you. 1,687. We're down about 20, I'd say, from last Thursday. Maybe 120. I don't know. You think it's they're falling off, man? The trolls are just falling by the wayside.
Well, yeah, it's a readjustment period.
It is. That's true. For everybody in oh so many ways. Trollroom.io is where you can listen to the No Agenda stream. You can also get it at noagendastream.com. And you can get it in all kind, any kind of app that'll do streams. It really is the best podcast network in the universe. We have so many people within the community who have created podcasts, and now we're doing them live, and it's crazy. If you want some great shows, that's the place to go. Or follow us on our Mastodon, noagendasocial.com, Adam at noagendasocial.com, John C. Dvorak at noagendasocial.com. These are federated social media little servers. We have about 10,000 people on ours, but you can sign up all over the place, and then you can just follow us. It's really beautiful when you see it working. Like, this is not a centralized system, so there's pretty much no help desk beyond your own the own Mastodon service that you're using, but it is the future as Elon Musk continues to destroy Twitter. Did you guys discuss it on Tuesday?
Discuss what?
Twitter. You said Andrew Horowitz was starting to agree with me that Elon.
He thinks that the something's up amiss.
Something's amiss. Okay. Now let's thank the artist for episode 14, 55. We titled that one. Hold on a second. Here we go. We titled that one "Systemic Rivals." Kind of in the hope that we hear that one pop up in the interim days between shows. I haven't really seen it, but it's a dud. Now, this was our Memorial Day episode, and we thank Capitalist Agenda once again. Now, is this now the hat trick? He's done two in a row now? I can't remember how many he's done.
Capitalist Agenda?
Yeah, I thought, is this two in a row for him now or not?
I don't know.
Well, who tracks that?
It's your department to keep up with this.
Oh, really?
Well, that's what I was always in the impression.
Oh, I didn't know.
It might be two. I think it's two in a row. I don't know.
Well, no matter what, it was.
We had a lot of debates about this particular episode.
About the art.
About the art. Yeah. The episode was fine.
So what we wound up choosing this beautiful piece. Now, when it says special day, we like choosing something that goes along with, like, Mother's Day or other kind of holiday. So Memorial Day. We're always looking for something good. We'll talk about the options we have, but this particular piece had a lot in it. It had the No Agenda blimp, the Zeppelin, which of course we talked about. It had on top left there, it had an oil can with a hose coming out to the bottom right, which is the gas nozzle. Siphoning off correctly. With a 33 hose. It just had a lot. And Memorial Day, of course.
It was well done. It was called a tattoo. It looked like it could be a tattoo. It was just a pretty, a super professional looking, couldn't top it piece. The only piece that I liked better, unfortunately, was the one below it, which was a babe. Yeah. Saluting the flag.
No, we both went, okay, that's a great piece.
Yeah, because it's cheesecake, a lot of
it's patriotic cheese.
But it's stolen. It was stolen art. We can't use it. Stop giving us stolen art.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally from a playing card or something. It was like commercial art. But Steve, who sent that in, I'm sure he's new.
He doesn't have a lot of pieces submitted. One of the giveaways, I'll tell you some people out there. Like, he's got... he did a nice Memorial Day piece that was competitive called Memorial Day. And he did another one called Honor that was good.
Yeah.
But he's also did the butt, but he's only done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pieces. And they're, the thing is, it was like, we had to run it through the search because these other pieces, unless they're stolen too,
they were
pretty artistic. So, mm-hmm. But no, we can't use. I mean, if it was
explain, why don't you just explain the
Kamala's
rules?
Kamala's head transposed, that might work. No,
you want to explain the rules? Do you want to explain the rules for everybody, for the newcomers?
Yes, you can use. There's fair use of of art that is in the public domain somehow in public domain, but still copyrighted. And if you mess with it enough. Or do certain things to it, it's fair game, and no one's going to come after you. And if they do, it's unfair. You can make parodies and muck things.
We'll stand behind our choices.
Yeah, but you can't just rip something off and then put the No Agenda logo at the top. That's no good.
No.
And even once in a while, we get something that's a little sketchy. It's in between, okay. Well, it's probably not. No, we're gonna err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
On all of our choices. Now, there's a couple other pieces. Another one by Capitalist Agenda down at the bottom. That was I didn't see the first time I saw it. I saw it when I was looking for art for the newsletter.
And the Memorial Day with the No Agenda.
Agenda, and then he transposed. This is a very slick piece because he's got the No Agenda drop down in red, white, and blue, and then he's got transposed in front of it the images from the soldiers in the sergeant giant work of art that's at the War Museum in London called Ghast.
Yeah, it's a good piece.
I mean, that's what it reminds me of. I don't know where you got these silhouettes, but
it's British helmets, so yes.
Yes, World War I British helmets. Yep. And that is what kind of the image of Ghast, which is a terrific piece, and it's huge. It's a monster. It's like 8 feet tall and about 20 feet wide, something like that. It's a stunning piece, and I would recommend seeing it if you ever get a chance. But so I think this was a beautiful piece, but the other piece was better.
Yeah, there were several Mona Lisa pieces. I think some of those might have just been memes from out there as well. Appreciate all the jokes about gums and dentists. I realized I made a phenomenal mistake by sharing my personal medical issue. Do you know how many emails I've gotten with a variety? I mean, it's completely confusing. Don't do that. No, you can do it with healthy men, like living, change your diet. Don't do that. There's laser now. Oh man, that's the best thing I've ever done. Dude, you'll never speak the same. I mean, everyone means well, but now I'm so confused. Now I'm like afraid, although I'm already underway in my process. Everyone has a different way of approaching this. It's really interesting.
Lasers, huh?
Yeah, there's some laser. It's called Lanta. I mean, I'm looking through it all, and I'm doing my research. It's just like, holy crap, I didn't expect all that. Actually, turns out it may not be all that bad, but I will have to go into general anesthesia for the work.
Ouch.
I've never been under general anesthesia. I hear it kind of sucks.
Well,
you haven't either?
No.
Oh, wow.
I haven't had an operation, so I don't see why I would.
Neither have I. Oh, you're one of the few. I was with the periodontist. He says, man, you've never really had anything. I said, no. He says, wow, that's kind of uncommon. I'm like, really? I guess people are sick. I don't know.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, we appreciate the work that all these artists have done. Our Steve, you know, thank you for the effort, of course.
It's a great piece, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of other great pieces. I like the Camel's Freedom Ride. Yeah, there's always good pieces. There's some new stuff for today. Parker Pauly, we're not going to do the Mona Lisa with cupcakes on her boobs. No, that's a little crass. A little much. But this one was just perfect for Memorial Day. Oh, that was one of the man on the street things. Well, do you know what Memorial Day is about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want me to say? Tell you.
Why don't you, since most of the millennials that watch the Jesse Waters show don't know?
Memorial Day, which was originally called Decoration Day.
Yes.
Which I pointed out in the newsletter, so I'm pretty familiar with it, is to honor the fallen only. It's not to honor the veterans. It's to honor those who died in war.
Oh, really? It's for all people?
Anyone who died in a war.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, anyone who died in the military in the war, I don't think it's for just somebody who got bombed. And so the Decoration Day was because that's when you're supposed to go to the graveyards, cemeteries, or the Arlington, or wherever you go, and you're supposed to load up with flags and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to, you know, honor the those that died during
mm-hmm.
the war.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, it was changed to Memorial Day, because the Decoration Day sounds like something too cheerful.
But Memorial Day, isn't that just basically a day for mattress sales?
The Memorial Day sale, yeah, for sure.
I think that's where we've taken it.
These guys are laid to rest, so let's lay to beauty rest.
There you go. Thanks to all of our artists. While we have been discussing this, if you're using a modern podcast app, you can see all of these images. You can follow. If you didn't hear a word, then you can follow it in the transcript. If you don't know, my co-host's name is spelled J-A-H-N-S-I, Johnsy. Which some other AI got that wrong too somewhere else. Someone sent it to me, like someone else was John C, and it also turned into Johnsy the same way. Probably using the same artificial intelligence.
Yeah, same algos.
58 apps and services are now using Podcasting 2.0, the Podcasting 2.0 standards. So, hello, where are you? Get a new podcast app at newpodcastapps.com. Let's thank our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1456. You want to kick it off here, John?
I'll kick off because the guy that's at the top of the list doesn't have a note. But I'll kick it off. This Gene Harris came in with $444.44. He's in Winter Park, Florida. I have no note for him, so he gets the double bonus Super Karma.
Oops, how come it, what happened? Why didn't it fire? What happened? Yeah, oh, there we go.
There you go.
You've got double up. Karma.
Sorry, was stuck. It was stuck.
Stuck.
Amy Mullen and John Muchink. And there's a pronunciation here. Muchink, it says.
Your buddy's in Austin.
Muchink. Yes, $400 from them. They are in Austin. In the morning, gents, this is from Amy Mullen and John Muchink. Today, June 2nd, is our 7th anniversary, and they never had a fight. Thanks to the house karma, we've escaped Austin and are finally in the Great Republic of Texas. You mean you have re-entered the Great Republic of Texas. We're celebrating by getting knighted and damed in the best podcast in the universe. Fantastic. John is now Sir Dude Chink of Upper Sorbia. And request Weller's and fish and chips at the round table. I love me some fish and chips, so I put in the order early. Amy is Dame Slamy. of the Ballstrap Buckies and would like family business golden age Pilsner and lobster. We're looking forward to meeting Bastrop producers when we're settled. Yak karma, please, for all in Gitmo Nation. Thank you for your courage. Love is totally lit, dudes. Well, isn't that nice? We'll see you at one of those meetups.
You've got karma.
By the way, you have started a craze with the yak. Did you know that? Do you know the he's very famous blogger, Jeffrey, or YouTuber, Jeffrey Star? You ever heard of Jeffrey Star?
No, I'm sorry.
Look him up and I'll explain. J-E-F-F-R-E-E Star. Jeffrey Star. Very famous, very rich YouTuber. Dresses like a woman. Very flamboyant. He has been setting up a yak ranch in Casper, Wyoming, and he's going to be selling yak meat and yak jerky.
That's one of the places where Wyoming's a big spot, hot spot for the yak.
Yeah. So, you know, you are the one that spearheaded this, and now she's going away with all the profits.
Wow.
This was an exit strategy for us. It was clear. We should have been in on it.
We have good reasons for not. I may have seen this person, she, before. Mm-hmm. A lot of cats.
Oh, yeah. No, you've definitely seen Jeffree Star.
So, the problem is, do either one of us want to run a yak ranch? I'm really thinking no.
I got the dog for it.
Yeah, you got a dog. That's as far as we've gotten.
Hey, we're on our way. Thank you very much, Amy and John. We'll see you at the roundtable later.
Onward with Sir Cal of Lavender Blossoms. He's in Northville, Michigan, $333. Yeah, it's interesting. You got no 333s today at all. None.
Really?
That is weird. 333.33, which is our executive producer special. ITM Gents, he says, keep on trucking and stay organic. Sir Cal of Lavender Blossoms. This is our official Lavender Blossoms. What is it? Lavenderblossoms.com?
Lavenderblossoms.org.
.org. Mm-hmm. .org. Check it out. Org for, not for organization, but org for organic.
Yes.
Cal, you can use that if you want.
And
it's yours free.
Yes, indeed. And it's CBD, and I have used the product, and I continue to use it. And it works what I use the salve for the most is cramp. If I get a cramp in my calf, you put that, and that happens. Actually, I've been using the product and kind of gone away.
Need more calcium. Take some Tums once in a while. Calcium is what gives you those cramps. Lack of calcium.
Tums, man. Tums is evil. Tums just gives you more heartburn.
That's my experience.
No, that's my experience. Anyway, thank you for ruining my endorsement of Lavender Blossoms.
God, you got the endorsement, God. And I got the website. And I gave him the tip about organic.
Chris Brown is in Salem, West Virginia. My alma mater. 304. Let's see what's going on. He says, please de-douche me. Now we can do that.
You've been de-douched.
I was hit in the mouth by co-workers Tyler Rice and later reinforced by Jason Smittle, who I'd like to call out as douchebags. Douchebag. That's for Tyler. Douchebag. That's for Jason. Well, that's not very nice of them. My PayPal donation of $304 is the West Virginia area code. That's right. It's to inspire more WV listeners to come out of the closet. John, the reason I'm donating tonight is seeing the newsletter in my inbox. It works. Yes. Adam, I've heard that you briefly spent some time in my very small hometown of, there it is, of Salem, West Virginia, while attending college here. Yes, indeed. Quick boots on the ground report. The college is still here, now a university. I don't know that it's thriving, but it is present. Yes, this is my alma mater, Salem College. And I think it merged with some Japanese university. That's what happened. They never invite me to anything. I dropped out after 3 months, and I have a sweatshirt, a hoodie. I'm also hoping to attend or plan a meetup in the near future for North Central West Virginia. Yes, you should create that. Jingles, Dvorak Mac and Cheese, Sharp and Medley, and Yak Karma for all. Thank you for your courage.
You slaves can get used to mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. Macaroni and cheap cheddar melted together.
Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. Mac and cheese.
Tonight is the measure of whether the country begins in the state of Wisconsin a national drive to push back, or whether we have more to go to build a movement of resistance. But resist, we must.
There it is.
We must, and we will much about that be committed.
You've got karma.
Luca in Walla Walla, Washington, 27333, be our first associate executive producer, ITM Gents. Luca writes, this donation brings me to knighthood, accounting below. Please knight me Sir Luca of the Southeast. Sign me up for the mutton and meat at the round table. It's always there. I'll be seated with my fellow dudes named Ben. I was planning on writing a long detailed note, but instead, let's keep it short and sweet.
Yay!
Yak Karma, please, followed by Jill Abramson, Vocal Fry, Noodle Gun, and finish with a massive Joe Jobs Karma.
Yeah, so karma always comes at the end.
Obviously, I read the New York Times like all day long, mainly on my iPad app.
I'm gonna shoot you in the face with my noodle gun, you racist piece of shit. I got my pasta Glock locked and loaded.
Jobs,
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 jobs, jobs, jobs,
jobs, jobs.
You've got karma.
Sarah Birch is in Wales, Wisconsin, 233, associate executive producership for her. I've recently caught the clock at 2:33 p.m. for too many consecutive days to ignore. Don't know what it means, so choosing to make it mean something for you guys. Oh, thank you. Requesting a jingle, I got ants because we indeed have them in the new non-city house. Ah, welcome to country living. Ants in your pants or in your house or anywhere.
I got ants. I got ants.
You've got karma.
Cole Hill's got ants. It's in Richmond, Oregon, 222 Aurora Ducks, 222.22. Ants burned. 13 burn marks on the wall. 15 ants gone. No ant control advice. 1/10 everything else. 10/10, please, D-douche.
You've been D-douched.
And thanks for helping us all keep sane. Yak karma yet again for everyone.
This is popular.
You've got,
let's see,
karma.
We have Anonymous from Chicago. Anonymous writes the longest note. I shall redact where necessary. 20101. Hey guys, I've been listening to the show about the last year. Interestingly enough, when I first started listening, I think I was searching for truth about the COOF. Okay, this is always an origin story, is reasonably interesting. I was listening to Pandemic with Dr. Stephen Kissler, Dr. Mark Kissler, and Matt Budger. I just kept thinking about these epidemiologists were a bunch of dumbasses and super boring. I had a few firefighters/cops telling me about all the murders being counted as COVID deaths in Chicago. Great way to get the numbers up. Glad to see our politicians making good use of all the violent crime in Chicago. Anyway, I think I put in truth about COVID, and your podcast came up on Apple Podcasts. Well, that's wow. That's unexpected.
That is really wild.
No Agenda was a lot closer to the top than it is now. Now when I search the same, it's number 35. Well, I think now a lot of people, we were early with the truth about COVID. How about that? First couple of episodes, I listened to people were giving a shout out and saying they heard Adam on Rogan. I didn't even know who Joe Rogan was. Wait a minute. This is a Naro donation. It's a reverse Rogan donation. That's there you go. That's pretty good. Thank you always for your deconstruction. May you never find an exit plan. I finally made a meetup back in January after Larry/Hitler let us go to bars again. I met so many like-minded slaves and was shocked to find so many in Chicago. Oh, yeah. I've been hitting as many people in the mouth as possible. I started my sustaining donation in January, so please de-douche me as this is my first donation.
You've been de-douched.
Plug for the meetup. In case it doesn't get approved by Thursday. Oh, it's on there. You are the biggest beach. That's a Chicago meetup in Chicago, 4 to 8 p.m. Saturday, this Saturday, June 4th. Look for three red balloons. Okay. Hopefully this is short enough for John. No, it was too long. But we do appreciate it. And welcome to the Gitmo Nation community. And I look forward to your meetup report for the biggest beach in Chicago meetup on Saturday.
And last on our list is Alex Green in Burlington, Vermont, $200.01. Sorry for the length, he writes, but I really want to honor my grandfather for his birthday. ITM, Adam and John, thank you for your courage. I write this note in honor of my grandfather, Bill Green Sr., who turns 89 this Sunday. Please add him to the birthday list. He's on.
He's on.
I think.
Yep.
He is an amazing writer, and I think the No Agenda Nation would be interested in his books. As a Depression-era baby, he grew up in poverty, but through hard work and determination, he achieved amazing success as a builder, educator, and even as an entrepreneurial business career in finance, real estate, and investment management. Educated at Princeton, Babson, Harvard, and the Hague Academy of the International Law.
Wow.
He has still...
Yeah. He was a spook. His grandpa busy. Spook. He's a spook.
Very busy. Could be. He has still held on to his own originality. He's busy. His own originality, and he expresses himself through his amazing writings and essays. Please check out his website, billgreenbooks.com. For more information, he has written on such topics as the parasitic role of elites. Well, that's something I'll read.
Yeah, I'll read that.
Saving democracy and major trends of the past 3,000 years of world history, and even how IQ and SAT tests hurt our kids. He is a true patriarch, a wonderful man, and an even better grandfather. Thanks for everything, Gramps. Oh, he actually says Grampy, so it's Grampy. Buy a book.
Ah, nice. It's a wonderful donation. Do you mind if I just hand out a gratuitous goat? A little goat karma there?
You should.
For Grampy?
You've got
Grampy.
Deserved Grampy.
And that's our group of producers and executive producers and associate executive producers for show 1456. I want to thank each and every one of them to make the show possible.
And these credits that you heard, associate executive producer up to executive producer, this is real. These are real credits. That wasn't a switcheroo, was it, for Grampy? And just think about it. Let's only look at the language.
How did he write
it? No, it's to honor my grandfather.
To honor, yeah. No, it's not.
Okay, all right, good. So anyone who comes in at these levels on the show, you are the actual producer, executive, or associate executive of this episode. That's exactly how it works in Hollywood. And go ahead and take a look at any of these credits online. You'll find at IMDb, many people have No Agenda Executive Producer as their credit or associate. And it looks great on your LinkedIn, it's a conversation piece. Put on your business card, you know, so you can say, hey, man. I'm executive producer. If only I could find an unknown. Works every single time. We'll be thanking the rest of our producers in our second segment. If you'd like to learn more about this, go to our donation page. You can sing the jingle. You can find it easily.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Thank you for bringing your time, talent, and treasure to episode 1456.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
We can talk a little bit about Ukraine. I think it's a good idea. We're throwing more money away.
Wait, there's more money going to Ukraine now?
Yes.
Nah.
That's, well, if you want to go right to that, let's play the clip. Ukrainian new missiles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The U.S. is sending another package of weapons and equipment to Ukraine, including advanced rockets.
Is that Amazon Prime? I hate this term package. It's been in my craw since the day they've been doing this.
What? Say it again. What?
They keep talking about it's a new package. Why is it? Why do they keep calling it a package? I just don't understand the term. I've never heard this.
Interesting. Okay.
The U.S. is sending another package of weapons and equipment to Ukraine, including advanced rocket systems. As NPR's Jackie Northam explained, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says this shipment of security assistance worth $700 million is for defense purposes only.
Secretary Blinken says this latest round of weapons are the most advanced provided to Ukraine in the four-month-old war. He says the sophisticated weapons bound for Ukraine will help propel Russian aggression and put Ukraine in a better position at the negotiating table, but will not be used to launch offensive attacks.
The Ukrainians have given us assurances that they will not use these systems against targets on Russian territory. There is a strong trust bond between Ukraine and the United States, as well as with our allies and partners.
This latest tranche of weaponry brings a total U.S. military assistance to Ukraine to roughly $4.6 billion.
Yeah, this needs to be stopped immediately. Immediately. Ukraine has promised not to point it at Russia and hit targets in Russia. Oh, please. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah, they're going to point it at Russia and hit targets in Russia.
Yes, and we're going to get blamed. And we're going to get blamed. Because it's our package. I mean, just the fact that they're saying that, because these are really medium-range missiles, right? These are ballistic missiles, medium-range.
45 miles. So they can get into Russia 45 miles in, which is a good distance.
Why would you give these people anything like that?
I don't know. I got the three more clips. One is
setup. That's a setup, man. That's a setup.
Something's amiss. I agree.
Yeah.
Let's go to this clips then. I got two sets of clips. I got either Russia real rundown, which I think maybe we should play that, and then we can play the BBC clips and hear what the Brits think.
Okay, you say Russia real rundown?
Ukraine.
I have Uvalde real rundown. I don't see a Ukraine or Russia real rundown.
Oh. Okay, skip it then and go to Ukraine BBC One.
As Russian troops are getting closer to seizing control of a key city in eastern Ukraine, the United States and Germany are sending more advanced weapons to help Ukrainian forces. The U.S. is promising long-range rocket systems, while Germany is sending air defenses and tracking radar. Russia has responded by accusing the U.S. of adding fuel to the fire. This comes as Russian troops are ramping up their assault on Ukraine's eastern Donbass region, with reports of street fighting in Severodonetsk. Russian forces are now said to be in control of 70% of this strategically important city. The BBC's James Waterhouse reports from Kyiv with the very latest.
Faces of anxiety, wives and mothers of Ukrainian soldiers on the front line, brought together by a frustration of their lack of support.
The lack of support. What lack of support are we talking about?
It's not enough.
It's unbelievable. I mean, lack of support. We're sending them guns. We threw guns on the streets just so people can pick them up.
Yeah.
And we're giving them missile systems and tanks and radars.
This
and
is the this is the BBC. Like, this is the BBC reporting. Not enough.
Yeah, not enough.
Wow.
Lack of support. Okay, let's go to part two of this clip. Maybe we can get more more of this. This is the kind of thanks we get, is the way I see it.
I'm very worried. I know he's sitting in the trenches there. I know there are wounded and killed. I believe that if they receive proper weapons, they're real warriors and they will fight for the sovereignty of Ukraine, defend our country, and get our seized territories back.
Olga's son was called up to fight 2 months ago. Today is his 41st birthday.
It is his birthday today, but I cannot even congratulate him and tell him that I love him and wait for him.
456 miles to the east, a reflection of Ukraine's loosening grip on the Luhansk region. Satellite images showing damage from shelling to Komashevaka and Severodonetsk. Russian soldiers now appear to move through its streets and wander into this state security service building. They're thought to be Chechen fighters and have a reputation for being thieves. Almost all of the Luhansk region is in Moscow's control.
Russia's gains are relatively small, but the cities they now occupy won't be easily retaken. And that is why Ukraine is asking for help to do more than simply be on the defensive.
Do more.
Do more. It's not enough. Do more. I have one clip related to Ukraine. Did you find your other one, the Russia timeline?
No, that other one was, you're right. I read it wrong. I will mention this. Why don't they have negotiations? And, you know, this is not unusual that countries do this, what I'm going to say. Sell them for a good amount of money. That those pieces of Ukraine, which are mostly Russian already, sell it to the Russians for some, you know, outrageous amount of, a good amount of money. I mean, we bought the Louisiana Purchase from the French. We bought half the United States from the French. And then we bought the Alaskan area and some of the northern.
Remember.
From the Russians.
Yeah, but you're talking about our weapons to Ukraine, sell them to Ukraine? Is that what you're saying?
No. Sell that, the Donbass.
Sell the region. Oh.
Sell the region to the Russians for a good piece of money, because it's mostly Russian anyway. This is never going to end. It's killing Ukrainians left and right. They don't want that. And it's like, you know, do a deal, sell the region, do a phony baloney election first. Say, oh yeah, okay, we all want to do that. And then sell the region. Yeah, you want a phony baloney election.
Yeah.
And so then sell the region, the whole area, to the Russians and make them pay, and then collect the royalty on the wheat that they grow in that area. And you're good to go, and you just don't have this ridiculous situation.
You act like there's an actual situation, like we know what's going on. Have you seen any reporting from the front, anything that looks like wartime reporting in the past?
Too afraid of getting hurt.
You've seen nothing. We have no idea what's true and what's not. As far as I'm concerned, Russia already controls it all.
Hey, I don't care. I don't care what we're getting is true or not. Sell it.
All right, well,
sell it.
Yeah, the Curry Dvorak Consulting Group agrees there is an opportunity to sell it. That is unfortunately not how the world operates.
It's always operated that way. People are selling pieces of the country left and right.
Not anymore.
Well, let's reinstitute, though. Look what happened when, let's reinstitute the idea.
I think it's a great.
Now they're fighting over these properties that could be bought and sold. It used to, in the 1800s, it was always a major thing. That's all you did.
But if someone,
yeah, we own that area.
But if someone takes something, if someone takes something from you and then you say, I'm going to sell it back to you, that's kind of sour. Because, you know, I think that Russia, Putin certainly believes that the Donbass region belongs to Russia. That's why he's there. That's what he said.
All they want, the international community sees it as property of Ukraine. Ukraine can sell to Russia. Russia should.
But Russia can't buy it. They can't buy it.
Money.
They can't buy it. They can't buy it because they're no longer part of SWIFT. See?
Okay.
All right. No, this is the way that the world works. This is a clip from retired Colonel, what is his name? Richard. Yeah, he's been around. Richard Black, known as Dick Black, Senator Dick Black. Remember him?
Is that Dick Black?
That's Dick Black, former head of the United States Army's Criminal Law Division at the Pentagon. He was in politics for a while, too, and I don't think he's in politics anymore. And this is a good no-agenda refresher for those of you who have joined us long after the days of the economic hitman and the rubbleization. He's just going to explain to you how the U.S. works, how China works in their way. It's worthy of a listen to this clip.
Let me just point out, the illusion of Russian and Chinese aggression around the world. You'll hear this repeated many, many times, that Russia is going to take over the entire world. China is taking over the world. They're doing all this stuff. If you look at the number of foreign bases between the U.S. and the U.K., we have about 900 overseas military bases where we have troops stationed in foreign countries. The total bases of the Russians and the Chinese, about 35. We've created this bizarre illusion because the war industrial complex must have enemies. You cannot manufacture weapons when you don't have enemies. And so we create this illusion that they're coming to get us. They're on our doorstep. And the fact of the matter is that China is out to make a buck. They want money. The Belt and Road Initiative is very important, but they have a different paradigm. Our paradigm is we go into a country, we set up NGOs, we take over, you know, the government by coup. If we can't, then we just bomb the place to smithereens half the time. And you compare that with the,
I love the laugh,
foreign policy of China, which is you go in, you work with whatever government is there. You're not judgmental, but you make hard business decisions. You make investments. And I think for people who are comparing the foreign aid paradigm of the U.S. and China, they're saying, you know, my likelihood of surviving is much higher if I follow the Chinese paradigm. So we cut a single check to Ukraine that is as big as the entire military budget of Russia for a year. We fought multiple wars against Iraq. We fought in Somalia. We fought in Bosnia. We fought in Haiti. We fought in Kosovo, Afghanistan, Yemen, Libya, Uganda, Syria. I probably missed half a dozen wars that we fought. We fight everywhere.
Exactly. So I would like to say, as an American, let's stop being dicks. Let's stop these people from doing this.
And how do you propose that?
With Bitcoin. I don't know.
There you go again.
I have no. Bitcoin fixes this. Don't you know that? No, this, in fact, that's kind of funny because it is kind of true. I mean, ultimately, we're defending our fiat reserve currency, the dollar, with guns. That's the full faith and credit of the United States. So we are, and in this case, we are kind of defending it with, you know, everything that has been doing to this global energy producer, Russia, and others who, you know, we've seen Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi both, who wanted to start selling oil in euros or the gold dinar, whatever that gambit was. Yeah, we went in, we kicked their ass.
You know, we have an issue here. And of course, this is the EU that created this, even though we like to take credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want the Russians selling their oil in rubles.
No.
We want the thing to stay the same as, yeah, okay, we don't like you anymore, and you shouldn't be selling your oil to anybody, but you have to sell your oil. You might as well sell it. But if you're going to sell it, you have to sell it in petrodollars. You got to sell it in the U.S. dollars. But the idiots makes me wonder who's behind really trying to screw us here. Is it Russia or is it the EU when they cut off SWIFT? They're the ones who cut the SWIFT system.
Correct.
As we've proven on our show by playing their clips.
Well, what are
it wasn't our idea.
Well, what are the chances that every country or every region is taking their own little credit for this? I mean, the UK is taking credit. They're not a part of the EU. The EU's taking credit. They're not a part of the UK. The U.S. is taking credit. This is how globalism works. This is your Build Back Better crew. They're all taking a credit for doing this. We're the ones paying for it. UK are the ones.
Yeah, we're paying for the whole thing.
UK is running
those
the PSYOP.
Just talking a big game, especially the EU. Those guys are jerks. I think Newland was always right when she said F the EU.
Did you see that phone call has been removed from YouTube? There's a big to-do.
Why?
About it. Because
it's a real call. What difference? Why?
It's embarrassing. That's why. It's
What's
embarrassing.
What's YouTube got to do with the embarrassment of our State Department?
Let's play the 13-second excerpt.
While I'm driving off laughing, this is what I'll say.
Yeah, it's been removed. It's been memory hold.
Yeah, well, we still have it, and we can play it at will.
We also have the full length.
We have the
recording.
Whole thing.
Mm-hmm, we do.
Talking about yats.
Yes, he's the guy. He's the guy to kind of midwife this. I mean, we've played it so often, I know it.
We play it a lot.
We need Biden to come in and do an attaboy.
Back and forth in the No Agenda Social about how, what's, why am I by being insulting called the dude named Ben? And somebody had to explain it to him. And
it was a very poor explanation.
I came in and said, yeah. Hey, it was from a congressional hearing I had. The explanation was at least better than just thinking it was some insult.
Well, since it's been brought up, this is Chaffetz. This was the IRS lady who was being interrogated in Congress because of how they were using the IRS to target conservative groups, conservative nonprofits. And there was a question about where some email or some information came from, and that came from the IT department.
Anybody in the IT arena?
I didn't actually interact directly with people in the IT arena. There was somebody whose name was, I can't even remember his last name. I think his first name may have been Ben.
A dude named Ben.
There it is.
Who else?
There it is, dude named Ben. By the way, the disdain that she has for someone in the IT department, I really interact with someone in the IT. Would you interact with the pilot of your airplane, lady? That's the level you need to bring your dude's name Ben up to, and dude's name Bernadette.
I don't remember his last name. There's a guy named Ben, I think.
Dude named Ben.
Jerk. You know, a guy who works in a computer room.
IT department. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, that's a dude named Ben.
Yeah.
We do have to remind people every 6 months to a year, every year.
Trump. So this thing there's clearly a lot about, this is all about energy. It's abusing the situation to push us towards the Green Deal, the European Green Deal, known here as the Green New Deal. Everyone has the same thing. It behooves everybody. This is a little underreported story as Iran comes into the mix.
And check this out, this scene. Those are Iranian commandos dropping onto a Greek oil tanker in the Persian Gulf last week. A second Greek tanker was also boarded. The incidents seem to be retaliation for Greece's assisting the U.S. in seizing oil from an Iranian ship in the Mediterranean 2 days earlier.
Yeah. What do you think? They stopped an Iranian ship with dodgy oil.
Yeah, it looks like, they're trying to transship a lot of Russian.
The Greeks are pissed off about the whole situation because they own a lot of the ships.
Yeah.
They don't like any of this. They don't like any of this stuff.
There's also something hinky going on in Syria, and I can't figure out quite what it is, but I have this clip. And the clip is entitled American Ambassador to the UN is floating around Syria or something. To get the lay of the land, they're trying to do something's fishy's going on.
Today, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, is near the Syrian border in Turkey. She's there to remind the world that there are still millions of people inside Syria who depend on U.N. aid. The government of Bashar al-Assad has retaken most of the country, but a few million people still live in an...
Wait a minute. What happened to the evil dictator, Assad? Have they dropped that now from the style guide? He's no longer the evil dictator, the dictator who is killing his own people. That's all dropped. That's interesting.
The government of Bashar al-Assad has retaken most of the country, but a few million people still live in an opposition-controlled region near the Turkish border. NPR's Michelle Kellerman is traveling with the ambassador and joins us from southern Turkey. Hey, Michelle.
Hi there.
So can you talk more about what prompted...
they've really got to stop doing this at NPR. Hi there. Hi. Can we Zoom later?
And joins us from southern Turkey. Hey, Michelle.
Hi there.
So can you talk more about what prompted Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield to take this trip now in particular?
So there's a deadline next month for the UN.
Stop. If you have a name, Linda Thompson-Greenfield.
Thomas.
And you're trying to keep your copy tight, why doesn't she ask the question? Because I already named her at the beginning of the piece, Linda Thomas-Greenfield. She says, why is Ambassador Greenfield in Syria? Why is Ambassador Greenfield doing this? Why is it? That's what you should say. Instead, she keeps saying Linda Thompson Greenfield, Linda Thomas Gray, or whatever her name is. It's I don't know why they're doing that.
I will tell you, because she's very highly regarded. She's a career diplomat, and she is African American. So she has all she ha, it has to be the it has to be the full thing. It's just the style guide. It's what you do to show. It's almost like saying she should have put in the honorable yeah. okay. Linda well, Thomas okay. Greenfield.
Yeah, I find it extremely annoying. But play the clip. Sorry.
She's a possible way out of NPR. That's what it is.
Live in an opposition-controlled region near the Turkish border. NPR's Michelle Kellerman is traveling with the ambassador and joins us from southern Turkey. Hey, Michelle.
Hi there.
So can you talk more about what prompted Ambassador Linda Thomas Greenfield to take this trip now in particular?
So there's a deadline next month for the UN Security Council to renew an aid program from Turkey to Syria. We're talking about hundreds of trucks a day, food, medicine, and other supplies that cross a part of the Syrian border that's controlled by opposition forces. Syria's government opposes this aid route, calling it a breach of sovereignty. Russia, which has veto power on the Security Council, is an ally of Syria, so it could block this aid route when it comes up for a vote next month. And U.S. officials say that could cut off, you know, about 4 million Syrians that really depend on these UN aid shipments. And by the way, they can't rely on the Syrian government and Russia aiding them because those countries have a record of trying to starve out opposition areas in the country.
Hold on a second. What opposition area is this exactly? Because to me, this doesn't sound like, this sounds like an area where they want to send weapons. It doesn't sound to me like there's people and 4 million people who need food and they've, how long has this dependency been going on? For years?
There's no backstory. They give you nothing here. It's just an opposition area in the middle of nowhere, Turkish border. I have no idea. I mean, we probably wouldn't take too long to figure it out specifically, but you're right. It's about smuggling in arms.
That's what I think. That sounds like to me.
Russia aiding them because those countries have a record of trying to starve out opposition areas in the country.
Okay, well, who has Thomas Greenfield been meeting with while she's been on the ground there?
So far, she's been meeting mostly with Syrian refugees, including an aid group known as the White Helmets. She's also met with some small business owners from Syria. The ambassador says she heard some similar concerns from many of them today. Take a listen.
The main message is we are hearing from our relatives inside of Syria. They are suffering, and we don't want to be forgotten. And I think the message they have heard from me is that we have not forgotten Syria, and that's why I'm here.
Well, first of all, you got me. you knew it was coming. You knew the White Helmets bit was coming. That's great. White Helmets, of course, discredited for their outright lies and staging of chemical weapons attacks. This has been admitted by UN organizations.
Among other things.
So I'm reading here in the Syrian Observer, which is probably where NPR is getting their information from. We know the Syrian Observer is one dude in a flat in London who's always on the BBC as the expert for years. And here are the opposition areas. Syria's south, eastern Ghouta near Damascus, and rural parts of Homs province. These are all pipeline areas, by the way. We know that Homs is a pipeline area. This doesn't sound... I mean, so they want to go from Turkey all the way through Syria, handing out whatever on the way down. Yeah, I can see the problem. Yeah. But I don't know if there's a real problem with these people. There's no evidence that... There's no evidence that that people are being starved by Assad. This is just, I don't get it. There's something up. You're right.
Something up. And when the White Helmets thing came in,
yeah,
then I knew something was up.
Yeah.
She's meeting with them.
Yeah.
They're scammers, and she's meeting with them, and something's up. They're going to do something, and Biden's going to, you know, be pushed into something he's not going to like.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get screwed again. The American public's going to get screwed. And while talking about Biden,
here it is, our favorite segment.
We need a jingle for the Biden segment.
We had
Biden
a Biden
gaffes or whatever. So he gave a speech at Annapolis, and the speech was outrageous with this bullshit. So let's start with the top of the order here with the Biden horseshit tale one.
Hello, Naval Academy. Whoa. Before I begin my speech, a thought crossed my mind as I was told the class of 72 is here. I was appointed to the Academy in 1965 by a senator who I was running against in 1972. Never planned it that way. I wasn't old enough to be sworn in. I was only 29 years old when I was running. He was a fine man. His name is J. Caleb Boggs. I didn't come to the Academy because I wanted to be a football star, and you had a guy named Staubach and Bellino here. So I went to Delaware.
Wait a minute. So first he was admitted to the Academy, and then he wanted to play football, so he went to Delaware. Huh?
So in 1965, he was supposedly admitted or given a commission or sort of whatever it was. Boggs got him into the Academy. He was already in. He graduated from law school in 68. So do the math on that.
Right.
He was already in at the University of Delaware in 1965 from his own, because the difference is 7 years between when he ran in 72 against Boggs and 65 when he was supposedly given this. This is a nonsense story. People have written about it here and there. It's not on the list of lies, like if it was Trump.
The database.
But people are going, no. This is no truth to this. He's just making it up. He didn't have no intention. He was a draft dodger. He was on an exemption, and he went to law school to keep his exemption going. He never joined the service, and he finally got out on some medical thing. So that's bull crap. But is there a part two of this one?
Yes, but I think we have a jingle to play.
He's a little bit creepy, but mostly just sleepy. It's sleepy, creepy Uncle Joe.
Joe.
Biden's cat of the week.
But all kidding aside, the best line of the debate was, after it was all over, the announcer, the questioner, who was a good guy but supported my opponent, who was a good man as well, I might add, and he said, Senator Boggs, you have anything else you want to say? And he said, yes, just one thing. And he took the microphone. He said, you know, Joe, if you accepted my commission to the Academy, my appointment to the Academy, he said, you'd still have 1 year and 3 months active duty, and I'd have no problems right now.
So I heard this, and I realize that what the deal was here, he likes to tell these kinds of stories, the second part, and he said this and they said that, and he's a good guy and I'm a good guy and we're all good guys, and he has some. I think the whole thing was made up so he could tell that phony story. It's like corn pop, you know, and again the chains, just a story to make himself look good or make himself look anecdotal, or so it's just bull crap. And another piece of bull crap which no one can document, This is a little subtle one. This is the Biden Annapolis rugby story.
I can't wait to see you. When I couldn't play football anymore, I played rugby in law school. I should have spent more time in law school, but anyway.
Wait, he wanted to play football, but then he wound up playing rugby?
There's no evidence that he played rugby. In fact, one of the only teams that was, he went to Syracuse Law. And the only team nearby was a team that didn't form until a year after he was out of law school. And then there were some local clubs, but it wasn't the team. It wasn't the college team, because the college team and the major teams in the area have assiduous records that somebody in the Guardian went and looked up, and they couldn't find any evidence that he played rugby for anybody anywhere.
From the same president who is indirectly or maybe even directly telling us that, hey, man, don't worry. Corn pop over there in Ukraine, promise you won't point the shit at Russia.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Good callback. So here, now the other ones aren't as good as those, but I got these other clips. This is the Annapolis 2 mumble.
Folks, Midshipman, this is your day.
Is there more? Because that one's good by itself. Shibbity dippity day.
Folks.
Yeah, he's mumbling the whole time.
Folks, Midshipman, this is your day. But I want to start by recognizing the people who got you here. Your parents, your family, everyone here that shows the support to get you here. It's their day as well.
It's your push to distribute your day.
This is what I said. That's what?
Great. Yeah, that's great.
All right, and this is the last one. I get the last one. This is Annapolis clip 3.
When I graduated from University of Delaware, I had a few, thank you, I had a few minor infractions, like hosing down an RA and a, anyway.
hosing down an RA?
An RA, I think it was a, yeah, research assistant.
Yeah. No, no, no. That's a resident.
A resident something then.
Yeah. It's a,
when you hose down somebody.
It's the hall monitor in the dorm.
Okay.
The RA. So, all right.
Like hosing down an RA in a, anyway. Unfortunately, there's, we didn't have the same tradition you have here.
Whatever that
means. Of hosing down RAs?
I don't know what he means.
Sniffing.
He's the president.
I have a Biden bumble.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the president, luckily, stepping in after a long time to help alleviate the baby bottle, the baby formula supply issue, which I do want to point out once again, the news and even the White House spokeshole continues to say that this is because of something Abbott did, where Abbott clearly disputes that and have the lab results and receipts to show it. So, you know, the fact that the president's going to defame them again is an issue, but it's really the solution to the problems of the supply chain for baby formula.
Today, we're announcing the United Airlines has agreed to offer cargo space for Kendall NutriCare for the delivery of 3.7 bottles of the formula here in the States. I want to thank United Airlines for partnering with us to get this done.
3.7 bottles of formula.
He said 3.7 bottles.
I mean, it's minor and we all get it. But is it really? The guy does nothing right. Except for, oh my goodness, I saw this morning. Oh, this was so good. So all of a sudden now, it looks like we have some student debt relief coming. But it will be specifically, this first tranche will be for 500,000 people. And most importantly, it includes Corinthian colleges.
What?
Do you remember the story about the Corinthian colleges?
Well, I don't think they're like the same as USC.
No, the Corinthian colleges was a scam.
Was it a complete scam? Are you sure?
Yes.
Because I know there's a lot of scams floating around.
Yeah, Corinthian. Now, because I think we, now I know that we also talked about it on the show several times. It was a for-profit post-secondary education. It bought up a whole bunch of schools, and then it went bankrupt, and people were, here it is, a part of it, American Motorcycle Institute, Blair College, Bryman College, so they had all these little colleges that they bought up. I think they bought those. It was a roll-up, basically. And the whole thing fell apart, but if you go back and look, the Corinthian colleges accused of predatory and unlawful practices filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2015. It had faced a lawsuit from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and, at the time, the Attorney General of California, Kamala Harris. So this is going to be a win for the vice president, for Kamala. It's already starting to bubble up in the news. Oh, she, you know, she went after him. She finally, and now she's helping the people that who were screwed by these unscrupulous dicks.
Yeah, it's a kind of, it's old news. It's like somewhat forgotten. Even I've forgotten
about
it.
Okay.
You're going to have a lot of trouble getting her any motive. You know, you're not going to get, I don't care what they do, except if you do another rigged, not that anything has been rigged, but if they do another mail-in ballot for the national election in 2024,
wow, you sound like a Fox News model.
Her in.
What do you mean? Not that anything's been rigged.
I'm not saying that anything's been rigged, but I'm saying if there's a way of rigging things, especially with mail-in ballots, which has been notorious for being riggable,
mm-hmm.
That's how you're going to get Kamala in, and that'll cause a revolution. This woman is dumb.
Yeah, it's really surprising how she certainly comes across as dumb. It's really surprising.
Well, my theory, of course, is she's stoned
mm-hmm.
to the tens.
But You know, the way she's been repeating herself about the time and together and all these different bits, that is kind of stoner talk. I got to be with you on that. It's a little bit stonery.
She's a stoner. She's got the look of a stoner. She has the laugh of a stoner, thinks everything's funny. And, you know, she's got that funny look on her face like, wow, I'm stoned and no one's noticing.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda.
I should mention that we're a little light today, and people should maybe help us out a little more in the next show coming up on Sunday.
I did want to just mention this Baron Crack Andy Caracciolo from Phoenix, Arizona donation. Now, he is a baron, and his donation is 188.88. Would typically not be, his note would not be read, but I think we should stop for this one. He says his stepdad, Bud Smith, a great man who has been in our lives since 1987, passed away 10 days ago at age 96. Thursday night, my father, Daniel, at 93, went from a sweet old man with dementia / Alzheimer's to having only a couple of days left to live. Thank you, hospice. He says, this note isn't for me. I'm at peace with my amazing father, stepfather, and God, whoever you believe that is, having two miracle boys through surrogacy. I can confirm there is a God and he is amazing. The donation is for the 188 years those two men loved life, and he says they were both badass. So, and for a baron, I think that's we should reasonable. Make that example.
No problem.
Yes.
Catherine Morton's next on the list from Charlotte, North Carolina, $111.11, and she's complaining that she donated $88.88 last week, but it was attributed to Saddle Tramp.
Oh, no, yeah, that got messed up, but it was really for her. How did that happen? What did she...
I have no idea.
Oh, Saddle Tramp hit her in the mouth. There you go. Well, this is good. She's casual listener Kat Morton.
She's back.
It's a new category. This is your new casual listener donation, 111.11. I'm liking it.
Baron Latikin of Houston, Texas, $100. Sir Otaku, the Duke of the Northeast Texas in the Red River Valley in Flower Mound. I've actually been there. 84.15. Sir Grease Monkey of the West Texas Oil Fields in Odessa, Texas. Mm-hmm. 8.008. Matt Schmidt in Nevada, Missouri. 8.008. But he never got D. Douche, the second donation. He's like, look, where's D-douching?
We can do that.
You've been D-douched.
And while he's at it, he decided to call out Mike Kosey, C-O-S-S-E-Y, as a douchebag.
Douchebag.
Meanwhile, we have Sir Kevin McLaughlin, Duke of Luna, lover of America and lover of boobs in Locust, North Carolina, donating 8008, the boob donation. It's going to be called the Sir Kevin McLaughlin Memorial Donation, if this continues.
Did you see, it was a post, I don't know if the person is in here, it was a post on No Agenda Social. Someone sent a picture of their dashboard. It had, the time was 4:20. The number of kilometers traveled on the trip was 69. And the total number was 80085.
I missed it.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I got to start collecting. Get me that picture. I need that. I've got
it's on the social. It's on the social. You can get on the social.
I don't know. It's social. Find it. Brendan Takash, or Takash in Western Springs, Illinois, 7777. He's freaked out.
Uh-oh.
About the fellow Chicago listeners. This is the same one that we got earlier, isn't it? Montrose Beach Grove at 4 p.m., which is on the list. And now I'm supposed to mention something according to Mimi. The list on No Agenda Social is only updated the night before the show.
You mean No Agenda Meetups?
What did I say?
Social.
No Agenda Meetups. Yeah. NoAgendaMeetups.com is only updated twice a week before the show. So when you send something in, you know, if you want to get it in there for sure, send it in a couple of weeks early.
Yeah.
If you're going to do the thing this week and then you're going to send it on Tuesday, it's not going to show up until the last minute. So that's that. Just the way it is. These are volunteer workers. Sir Dude named Mike of Not That Paris in Paris, California, 6969. Jim Borith in North Wales, Pennsylvania, 6666. Jennifer Williams in small town Texas. Is there a small town Texas?
Apparently.
6663.
Oh, Jennifer says she's down in the dumps and she could use some karma. Well, yeah, we'll get that to you. Of course.
She does need a de-douching.
Well, if she's down in the dumps, I would think so.
You've been de-douched.
Also, Zachary Vance in Eagle Mountain, Utah, 6650. He needs a de-douching.
Oh, my goodness.
You've been de-douched.
Freddie Vieira in San Antonio, Texas, 6148. It's for Judy V's birthday. And she's on the list. Tyler Ross in Boise, Idaho, 6122. And this is another, he says, it's Boise, not Boise. Okay, we got that.
It's John C. Boise. It's John C., not John C.
And he's got a birthday. So he's in Boise. Boise.
Boise.
Sir Grease Monkey of the West Texas oil fields. And another guy in Odessa. You guys should have a Odessa meetup. 6006 small boobs. Sir Bebop, Bebook, Knight of the Frozen Tundra, New Brighton, Minnesota, 5678. Jonathan Peckham in Bristol, Rhode Island, 5555. Sir Tom Dari in DeForest, Wisconsin, 5510. Harry Pilgrim, 5510. He's Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Yeah. He's a long time listener and donor.
He is, sir.
Producer. Yeah.
Zach Welch in Burien, Washington. And Zach Welch in Burien, Washington. 55, one donation, 50 another.
Nice.
Okay.
You know what happened is what happens is he said, I value what these guys are doing. I'm going to send them some donation treasure. And then he probably went, crap, these guys are really good. I need to do a little more.
It could be. Eric Schultz in Dallas, Texas, 50, and he says he's been a douchebag for too long. There you go.
You've been de-douched.
These are $50 donations, name and location. Elizabeth Welch in Houston, Texas. Shane Grubb in Cleveland, Tennessee. Christopher O'Cowan in Austin, Texas. Joseph Barnes in Oakland, California. Sam Senevich in Springfield, Missouri. Jason Marrer in Portland, Oregon. Herbert Hess in Spring, Texas. Brent Chickie in Lake Worth, Florida. Timothy Moore in Arlington, Texas. A lot of Texans. Jill Woods in Ocean Grove. Jeez, New Jersey. I keep hoping for California names. But there he is. Kenneth Herricks in Castaic, California. Tony Lang in Castle Pines, Colorado. Claire Thornhill in Toronto, Ontario. Stephen Abbott in Vroqua. There's a way of pronouncing that, Wisconsin. And last on the list are two people. One's in San Francisco, California. That's Aichi Kitagawa, still with us. And Sir Brian Watson in Raleigh, North Carolina. These people have made the show possible, along with the other producers. And I want to thank each and every one of them for their support.
And everybody who came in under $50, which we do not read for brevity, but also for anonymity. And most of them are people who have kindly taken up a subscription, which is a recurring donation, sustaining donation, as we call it, does help on days like this. So please consider doing that by going to
Dvorak.org/NA.
I know the yak is popular, but here's a goat for some...
You've got karma.
For some equity. thank you again for supporting episode 1456 of the best podcast in the universe. And it's a short list for birthdays as well. We do have Tyler Ross saying happy birthday to his dad, 66, yesterday. Alex Green to his grandfather, Bill Green. He'll be 80 on the 5th. And Freddie Vieira, happy birthday to Judy V. And, of course, happy birthday from everybody here, the best podcast in the universe. And no titles to play, but I do have one dame and two knights, so that's always fun to do.
Is your combo blade?
Oh, that's a sweet one. I like the rubies on the handle. That's very cute. Amy Mullen, John Muching, and Luca, come on up here, the podium. I'm very proud to bring you into the No Agenda peerage of Dames and Knights, thanks to your support of the show in the amount of $1,000 or more. And I am proud to pronounce the KV as Dame Slamy of the Ballstrap Buckies, Sir Dudechink of Upper Sorbia, and Sir Luca of the Southeast. For you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys, Chardonnay, Weller and Fish and Chips, Family Business, Golden Age, Pilsner and Lobster, Cowgirls and Coffin Varnish, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, Bong Hits and Bourbon, Vodka and Vanilla, Geishas and Sake, Breast Milk and Peplum, and if you want, I mean, it's not quite the same as Family Business Golden Age Pilsner, but the mutton and meat is not bad here today. So while you're feasting on that here at the round table, and please say hello to all the other knights and dames. We've got quite a collection of them now. Remember to go to noagendanation.com/rings and give us your important information so that we can know where to send off your signet ring, your wax that you can use for sealing and imprinting, your very personal and confidential correspondence, and, of course, the certificate of authenticity. And we thank you for supporting the No Agenda Show.
No Agenda Meetup.
Calendar's full for the meetup, and you just heard how it's updated the night before each show night. And indeed, we're very happy with the work that Mimi and, of course, Sir Daniel are doing, keeping noagendameetups.com updated and coordinated. First meetup report is from Central Iowa, from Sarah Clark. It's a written report meetup for the Smash Park in West Des Moines on Saturday, May 28th. The sun was shining. We enjoyed food and drinks, discussion of bugs, prepping, farming, fertilizer, homeschooling, gender, anime, holy crap, and what we want to do for the next few meetups, which includes a train ride in Boone and another game day at Smash Park. Finished the afternoon with a game of bags, so we could say, someone's getting cornholed today. Sounds like a recipe of success to me. So they call it bags in Des Moines, in Iowa. We just call it cornhole. Interesting.
Well, they throw a bag, so maybe.
Well, yeah. I didn't know they called it bags. A cornhole is so much more sophisticated. Southern Colorado.
Hey, y'all. This is Carol Ann, Baroness of Southern Colorado. We've just had a great meetup.
This is Bored Stupid. You're hearing me speak in the morning.
Hey there, this is Elise with the Brooks Clan with our three human resources.
In the morning, John and Adam. This is Jessica. That John Denver, he was a spook.
In the morning, this is Mark, the wandering knight. Shake the rain stick for me, would you?
This is Chris. Stay dangerous.
In the morning, Adam and John. This is Wade, the douchebag from the Chase Ranch.
ITM, John and Adam. This is your friendly teenage listener, Phoenix. My goal is to donate before my parents so I can call them out as douchebags.
Yeah!
Good afternoon, John and Adam. This is Melanie. Hey, John, if you cashed that check of $100 2 years ago, don't worry. I'll send it another donation to bring me to damehood.
In the morning, John and Adam. Hey, Adam, we could use a rain stick here in Southern California.
In the morning, John. And Adam, this is Josh coming from Pueblo West. We really could use the rain stick out here in Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona. So please give us a shake.
In the morning!
What do you think?
I think they can get their own rain stick.
No, those don't work. They're not professionals. Are you kidding me? That's very dangerous. It sounds to me like people are in need of rain. I mean, is this...
I'll give a shake if you want to.
Oh, hold on.
I could use some rain here, so.
All right, well, I'd like to alert Galveston, Houston, and possibly Texarkana.
Last time we got a donation from Galveston. Never.
Doesn't mean that there aren't producers listening there who are hitting people in the mouth and doing what they can do. I just want to warn everybody that the back end of my stick in particular can be lethal. So I'm going to try and temper the lethality as we go. One shake or one shake and a flip over?
I think one shake and a flip over.
One flake and a shit. One shake.
One flake and a,
one flake and a
ship
over. Remember, we are trained professionals. Do not try this at home. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Flip.
Flipped. Okay. Oh, you what is that? You were shaking it dry.
It's dry.
You shook it at the end there. Be careful with that.
Yeah, I gotta get those little beads at the
That's
top.
That's the stuff that gets you in trouble. It's like you learn nothing in rain stick school. Stop it. Stop it. My goodness. You're getting a little careless there. All right, Kansas City.
Sir Spencer Wolf of Kansas City here at the KC Meetup at Choteau Greenway Park. We got all the human resources out here celebrating Lavish's birthday. It's like a party.
This is Matt from Kansas to remind you the city's pronounced Olathe, not Olaf.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
This is Kirk from the Bitter Brussels Sprouts in the Morning.
Hey, John and Adam, this is Bill Talty. We're all part of a universal collective consciousness.
Hey, this is Brinkamania from Springfield.
Dame DeLorean here. May your bowls burn ever brighter.
Dame Blackhammer here. We're missing Cersei Mike, but he'll catch us next time. In the meantime, I have 7 out of my 8 human resources, and we're having a good time at the park.
Hey, Crackpot and Buzzkill. Thank you for your courage.
I made it a new friend. It's Goop. Brandon. Podcast. Did Brandon poop his pants?
Uh-oh, I hear the cops.
Oh no, we gotta run.
Child abuse. We love child abuse here at the No Agenda
Brendan
Show.
Brendan poop his pants?
Yeah, these are actually my ISOs. They sent me ISOs too. before we get to that, here's what's happening meetup-wise on the calendar. If you're in Wallkill, New York, you can go to the Inn at the Ridge 6:30 tonight. The Shawgunk Mountain Meetup, the first one. Go check it out. Pittsburgh tomorrow noon, the Strange Roots Brewery in Millvale. Also tomorrow, Putin's Poontang Party, 1 o'clock at Miller's Ale House, Mount Laurel Township, New Jersey. On Saturday, Red 33, Gemini Season, 230, Castle Island Brewery in Norwood, Massachusetts. You are at the biggest beach. We talked about earlier, 4 o'clock, Chicago, Montrose Beach Parks. Look for the 3 red balloons. That's 96 less than Nana. We have Local 360 at 4 o'clock at Farmstrong Brewery in Mount Vernon, Washington. This is all Saturday. A farewell to Washington, 4:30. That will be in, that's Malarkey's in Issaquah, Washington. The Rare Hog Meetup, 5:30 Eastern, Colonel Mustard's Pub and Grill, Port Perry, Ontario, Scandinavia. Southern Ontario, Scandinavian Meetup, 6 o'clock at Cravens in Sarnia, Ontario. Local 251 International Brotherhood of Mouth Hitters, that's at Jason's Deli in Mobile, Alabama. Hey, Dave Jones should go check him out. COA Indianapolis NA Tribal 330 Blind Owl Brewery in Indianapolis, Indiana. Curious Gugga Gorge 5:30 in Bridge Brew Works, Fayetteville, West Virginia. And there you go. There's a West Virginia meetup for you. That'll be the first Sunday of every month event. Good to see it. And finally, on the next show, well, actually, this is beyond that. The next Thursday will be New York Supper Time, 6 o'clock at Chaz Palminteri Italian Restaurant in New York. Just looking down the list, we have everything chock-a-block for June, for July. We're already into August for people booking things up, including München, Bayern, Germany on the 9th of June. So there's a lot coming up. That's our No Agenda Meetups, noagendameetups.com, where you can find a meetup almost every single day, almost anywhere in the world. And if you can't find one, here's the cool thing about it. You can start your own. Go ahead. It's like a party. No Agenda Meetups.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You want to be where you want me. Triggered on hell's flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
So I might as well play in my 2 ISOs since they were already kind of revealed there. I thought they were cute.
Uh-oh, I hear the cops.
That was cute. And
did Brandon poop his pants?
I thought there was another one in there that she had. Some Let's Go Brandon or something like that.
Oh, she had a whole rap there. But I kind of like it.
Did Brandon poop his pants?
Yeah. I like it. It's just something we can use
standalone. Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because I only have one. By the way, there's a train going toward China.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean it by what I mean is.
Now, California's part of the Belt and Road project. Yes.
And it's so far, it has started with 3 inches in the front. There's one puller in the middle, 100 cars between the front and the middle, and this starting 101. We're up to about 110, 120 cars headed for export. This is the biggest. Yeah, you can play that if you want.
Oh my God! Woo! Listen to that horn!
We don't get to play it anymore now that
this is the biggest. Yes, you're right. This is the biggest train I've seen. It's still going. It's at about 130. Biggest train I've seen headed out.
And what are they packing?
They're all cargo containers, so you can't tell. There's two on each of the. And when I say 130, that's kids. 130 times two.
They're trafficking kids again.
Could be. Could be somebody in these things, but they're still going. It's unbelievable. This is one of the longest trains I've seen going in the right direction.
Hmm.
All right, so you started the show very early on. It's finally ended about
How about your ISO?
Yeah, I was saying you started the show by saying dynamite, something dynamite. You said there's going to be dynamite. You said that. So I thought the way there, yes, you did. And I thought that this is perfect for the wraparound because you want to start and end it with the same kind of thing. And here is my ISO.
Dynamite!
Okay, there's nothing better than that today for sure.
Now, I will say this.
Please do.
I took that from the ads, these repulsive ads that are online, or not online, they're on small-time TV, court TV to be a good example.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about calling and getting a zip code, and then checking your zip code to see if you get more money back somehow. It just makes no sense whatsoever. But they have William Shatner doing these ads. They have a bunch of these different guys.
Really?
Yeah. And so they have Jimmy J.J.
Walker.
Dynamite.
Yeah, Dynamite! That's where it comes from, of course.
So I want to play there's only a few seconds of these, but I want to play his part of the ad where he's telling the people to check their zip code. And it's called Call Now Advert.
Hi, it's me again. Listen to this. Medicare Part C plans with extra benefits like getting money added back to your Social Security check every month may now be available to you in your zip code. Make sure you're not missing out. It's simple. 1, call the number on your screen. 2, they'll look up your zip code to see if you're eligible. 3, they'll check for plans with extra benefits like prescriptions, dental coverage, and the benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every single month. Call now.
You know,
now I heard this a million times. I'm so annoyed with these commercials.
Oh.
And he's the worst. And here's the second part where he wraps it up with his dynamite.
Check your zip code. It could be dynamite. Call now.
Well, you know.
So I thought I'd inflict the whole audience with this bullcrap that I listen to on these obscure stations.
Let's just think about this. And the poor guy, this is end of life gig. You know, this is, I know where I'm going to wind up. I'm going to take over Tom Selleck's reverse mortgage gig.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't, you know, you don't have to watch.
No, I'm not. I feel bad for
Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Well, I'm glad he's got the gig.
Yeah.
But do I have to listen to it 1,000 times? That's what bothers me.
Well, stop watching M5M, baby.
It's not M5M. This one I picked off on Court TV, but it's on all these little channels.
That's M5M? That's all M5M.
It's not M5M.
Oh no, it's unbiased great news and great reporting.
Actually, Court TV is quite good.
Mm. Yeah, I know. Especially when it comes to important cases like Depp. Heard. Sure.
Anyway.
I only have a couple things I just want to mention before we go.
Okay, what?
Well, just a couple things. It's all in the show notes. One, what was promised would never happen. What you even said as we were discussing George Soros' desire for a EU treasury. Of course, the EU treasury means EU taxes. Also means the treasury needs to be protected, as you rightly pointed out, by an army. And Germany has now uncloaked and is revealing their massive military expansion. So the European Union army is on its way. And they promise this would never happen.
Of course.
Naomi Wolf.
The Ukrainians won't send the missiles into Russia.
No, of course not. They promised. Naomi Wolf, her latest Substack, which you might want to give a read. Dear friends, sorry to announce a genocide. So the canceling can be complete now. As she says, the COVID vaccinations, particularly how they were not to, and she's writing all this based upon the 50,000 pages that Pfizer wanted the judge to keep secret for 75 years. Yeah. She says, no, this, you know, so it was 230 women who participated in the trial. 207 of these women, they no longer have records of. They don't know what happened to that. Of the 32 whose records they do have, 28 lost their children before birth. And so that's what Naomi Wolf is calling a genocide. I'm honestly worried about the 207 women they can't find. Do you think they just died? I mean, these women remember being in the trial, don't they? Someone needs to step forward.
Something's up.
Deutsche Bank, this is going to be a fun one. This not Deutsche Bank, but a subsidiary of Deutsche Bank. What the hell company was this? What bank was this? Has had to step down after, DWS, there it is, Deutsche Bank. Chief executive is resigning hours after authorities raided its offices as part of a probe into claims the company exaggerated the sustainable credentials of some of their financial products. I think this may be the first big ESG scam we're going to witness. This is Dieselgate. And it's from the Germans once again. You know, just like they Audi scammed with the Tesla, like, oh no, we're environmentally
Volkswagen
friendly.
Top of the list.
Volkswagen, Audi, same company, is it not? I believe so.
Could be.
So now we have bank and financial products turning out to be scams.
Scams are around. It's unbelievable. How can this happen? Isn't that what these governments are for, to keep this from happening to the public?
I would like, I would request that the...
When does the government get involved? They're part of the scammers. This is not right.
I would like the Oman Investment Authority to send us a check, as they took our advice from the Curry Dvorak Consulting Group, and they have now decided to use excess gas for Bitcoin mining. So they're smart. And Putin is the one that should be doing that. And then the final one, and this was very surprising, and I'm extremely disappointed. I'm looking at you, Tim Pool. I'm looking at you, X22. I'm looking at all you guys. How come no one has talked about the fact that there's a Bilderberg meeting today through Sunday?
What about Alex? Does he pick it up? He's usually
I have not heard it from Alex. This comes from one of our Finnish producers, came from a Finnish publication. And it wasn't like a big announcement. It was just... following a somewhat cryptic announcement Tuesday, Prime Minister Sanna Marin, she's a Finnish politician, she would be spending a few days in Washington this week. Papers report she headed up to the USA on Wednesday to attend a meeting of the high-powered Bilderberg Group from Thursday through Saturday.
In the United States?
In Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So, shame on everybody. I can't believe we missed all that.
Well, we have to double check this. These guys never miss that stuff, especially Alex.
That's why I'm so disappointed. Well, he's kind of bogged down with other stuff, you know, lawsuits.
Oh,
crap like that. All right, John.
Okay, well,
play
us
out.
Have got one for the next show. I'm not going to do it now. Okay. Next show, I got a letter from one of our producers who actually owned and used a hydrogen vehicle.
Oh, okay.
He leased a 2018 Toyota Mirai, which is one of the, I think I've driven that car.
Mm-hmm.
He has a story to tell, and it's fascinating.
Ooh. Excellent. Excellent. Hold on a second. We just delete all this. Okay. All right. So that means no clip.
No clip.
Okay.
You got the clip. Jimmy J.J. Johnson. There's your clip.
No, I got an ISO. That's for sure. I got a dynamite ISO.
Dynamite
ISO. Let me take a look and see what's happened on noagendastream.com and in the troll room. Random Thoughts, episode 189. Lured Away is the title. So that's a pre-recorded podcast for your podcast listening pleasure on noagendastream.com. Hang out in the troll room, trollroom.io. And we look forward to bringing you more deconstruction on Sunday. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country. That's right here in FEMA region number 6. You can look it up on all the governmental maps. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where I remain, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We will return on Sunday, second Thursday of the week, with another deconstruction for you. End of show mixes from Sound Guy Steve and Tidewater Architect. Remember us at dvorak.org/NA. Until then, adios, mofos! Since we've been doing this show, terrorists and crazy people in the sand drive Toyota trucks, okay?
They got a bunch of Chevy trucks.
It's Chevy truck
they're
month.
They're taking their gift for free.
It's Taliban Chevy truck month, everybody.
We did that. 20 years. We went to Afghanistan almost 20 years ago.
Where'd they go?
With clear goals. Get those who attacked us on September 11th, 2001. And make sure Al-Qaeda could not use Afghanistan as a base from which to attack us again. Our mission in Afghanistan was never supposed to have been nation building. After 20 years, I've learned the hard way. That's why we're still there.
It's Taliban Truck Month at your Kandahar Chevy Depot. Afghanistan is overstocked with Chevy trucks, left behind by Uncle Sam, to be plundered by occupying forces and jihad-minded individuals. Be the first in your caliphate to own a repurposed military Chevy. Right now during Truck Month, blow up your old Toyota truck and claim a discarded U.S. military-equipped Chevrolet. Not available to ISIS-K, Christians, or citizens trying to flee the country. Women are expressly forbidden from any offers. Not all vehicles come equipped with artillery or small weapons. Your mileage may vary. Always wear your seatbelt. Chevrolet, the longest-lasting, most abandoned trucks in Afghanistan.
Truth is, this did unfold more quickly than we had anticipated.
My mission is to protect you.
People should know. There is a virus. It kills people. And the only way we prevent it is to get vaccinated, to wear masks, to do social distancing, washing your hands all the time, and not just to think about, well, my freedom is being kind of destroyed here. No. Screw your freedom. Screw your freedom.
This is California.
Screw your freedom.
This is California.
Screw your freedom.
This is California.
Screw your freedom.
I am the hero, so shut up!
I don't really like you, right? You brought me nothing but pain. My freedom is being kind of disturbed here. No. No. Screw your freedom.
This is California.
Screw your freedom.
This is California.
Screw your freedom.
California.
Screw your freedom. Screw your freedom. Hasta la vista, baby.
There is no planet B. There is no planet blah. There is no planet B. Blah, blah, blah. There is no planet blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah blah blah. Blah blah blah. Blah blah blah. Build back better. blah, blah, blah. Green economy, blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah. Climate neutral, 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 blah, blah, blah. 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 Blah, blah, blah.
Dvorak.org/NA
Dynamite!